Marin at 6 past the hour on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition.
Good morning, geniuses, philosopher kings and queens, progressive utopians with no sense of humor. We are here to take down the belligerent, smug, arrogant, fake Christian, AWOL, ex-blow monkey, puppet of the Cheney regime's neocon death cult. That's what we're going to do today. That's the agenda at hand. I want to say one thing, Mark Riley.
Hi!
Yeah, that. You know, I was learning a lot. I was watching the Larry Elder show yesterday.
Oh, wait a minute. Don't start that. Why would you do that at 6 o'clock in the morning? Larry stinking Elder.
Yeah.
That fake Dr. Phil looking.
Yeah.
Oh, no, no. Couples in conflict? Talk about failing upward. The guy's radio show didn't draw flies, so what did they do? They put him on stinking television, advising people how to live their lives. Oh, gee, Larry, what have you done?
Larry blinking Elder.
I didn't have the energy to do my rant, so I figured I'd throw one in your
so
court.
You talk to me about, and here it is, Larry Elder.
Oh my God.
No.
We were in the office yesterday, and man, that show is out. Riley, you just like, I didn't know if it was going to, you were going to just stay there all night by yourself yelling at Larry Elder on TV.
Hey, man, if it had been on TiVo, I probably would have. That's no account fake. Oh, no. Don't get me started on no Larry Elder.
I think
at this
I already
tomorrow.
Did.
Doctors, yeah. That was what? You're going to sit up and advise. Well, you know, we're going to get out of here. Sit down somewhere.
Oh, that was beautiful.
Anyway, I'm sorry.
Oh, no, that was great. That's exactly what I needed. I wanted to just get everybody up and juiced with their coffee. You know, I get tired of these people that say that if you don't know the issues that you shouldn't vote. Don't you think
that's ridiculous.
It is, absolutely. Because we have a president that operates from his gut.
He doesn't know the issues.
Exactly. Why can't the people vote from their gut? Tucker Carlson said that. So did those guys, Trey Parker and Matt Stone, the guys who made that bad movie.
Suppression. All they're trying to do is suppress the vote. Look, you can vote no matter what your qualifications. You know, back in the day, they used to do that to black people. They used to actually have that in place. You had to know all this information in order to vote.
So that was one of the ways they
kept black people from the vote.
Yeah.
If a black person had guts enough to go to the polls somewhere in North Carolina someplace, they'd start asking about state capitals and who's on the back of a $20 bill and all kinds of stupid questions, trying to trip them up to make sure that they couldn't vote.
Wow, so instead of just a guy going, do you have your ID, or parking a police car in front, or just intimidating them with these voter rolls, they would actually just say, well, I don't think that you're qualified to vote if you don't know what the issue
is. All the American presidents, for example.
Oh, man.
Yeah. I mean, these are questions. You think I'm making this up.
I know
these are questions that black people used to be asked going to the polls. And this may not connect directly to Larry Elder, because maybe he hasn't maybe Larry hasn't said yet that people that don't know the issue shouldn't vote. The fact of the matter is, don't let anyone tell you can't vote because you don't know something. That's absolutely the most ridiculous. As long as you know how to hit a button or pull a lever so that your person is in the column that you want them to be, go vote.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. I think that, you know, if, like I said before, if we have a president that is willing to admit that he just acts from his gut, then if you have a feeling about this president, you should act from your gut as well and go vote. And if you're apathetic and you don't think that your vote counts, it does. Go vote. I think they're trying to pull some stuff everywhere, even in Democratic states. Dude, I told you yesterday about my ballot, my absentee ballot. I called them the other day. I said, where is it? They said, we sent it out September 8th. Oh, we didn't have your apartment number. But I said also that my mailman knows me enough. He would have put it in my box. So I call him back. I give him the apartment number. I tell him where I live. My wife just received it in Los Angeles. Got my absentee ballot. They didn't even send it here. So how could there be that much confusion in California? And I thought they were being so efficient to get it out to me so quickly, but they sent it there. It seems to me that they're trying to dismiss Democratic votes everywhere.
They're trying to push Democratic votes to the side. They're trying to, in a nuanced way, disenfranchised Democratic constituencies across the country. Now, the Republicans are going to jump up and say, well, you know, they're voting twice, and they're voting three times, or they're registering 20 times, and blah, 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 blah. That's not the reason why a lot of votes are in jeopardy. The reason why a lot of votes are in jeopardy is because we have antiquated boards of election all over America that are thoroughly unequipped to handle the volume of new registrants, and they don't want to admit it, and they know now that on November 2nd, people are going to go to the polls in large numbers
right.
and find that their names aren't in the book.
Yeah,
and where are they going to, you know, and again, do the paper ballot. If there is any question about your vote, demand a paper ballot and fill it out.
Yeah, and also today is the deadline in Wisconsin to register, but you can also register on Election Day.
Yes.
October 23rd is the deadline in Iowa and in New Hampshire. November 2nd, of course, Election Day. You can vote in Maine. These are swing state deadlines. If you sense any tampering with the vote or anything suspicious going on around your vote or around your polling place, 866-OUR-VOTE is the number to call. There are many lawyers everywhere. Be careful in New Mexico. New Mexico seems to be the place where some shenanigans are going to go on outside of the ones that are already going on in Nevada and Portland, Oregon, and Ohio. There's a lot of tactics going on in Florida as well. These ballots are confusing. There's just, you know, they're making it difficult. You know, this is where, you know, government is really dropping the ball. Anywhere they should put money into and also sort of guarantee the safety of and also, you know, staff properly is the elections office and the polls office and all this other stuff that has to do with the election.
I want to know one thing. What is it that Wisconsin knows and Maine knows, and I think Minnesota also knows,
mm-hmm.
where you can register to vote there, and register and vote on Election Day in those states. But every place else, there's this deadline, like, you know, that's cast in stone, and that really is inexplicable if these other states can do it the same day.
Well, I think it all goes back to that their fear of people who don't know anything voting, their
yeah.
fear of the population just mobilizing for just because they can. You know, it seems to me that they want to make, theoretically, everybody should be allowed to vote. Right when you turn 18, if you don't have a criminal record, or you know, and even then, after a year, you should be, you know, or when you're released or when you've done your time, you should be able to vote, that everybody should just be allowed. If you have a valid driver's license that says you're 18 years old, you should be able to vote.
You should be able to vote.
Period.
And see, people get all nervous and scared about duplications and this and that and the other. The fact of the matter is there are whole industries in this country that manage to keep track of people, the banks and everybody else.
Dude, if I can use my ATM,
yeah,
you know,
exactly.
in Guam or in, you know, in Thailand, I mean, you think they should be able to get the computer technology together to make this legitimate and fair.
Yeah, you would think. But see, it's not in everyone's interest that it be organized properly and fair. If it was, every state would allow you to register the same day you vote, and the balloting would be on the weekends instead of just on a Tuesday. That would make the most sense. You'd have people on the weekends, they'd be able to go on Saturday morning, or they'd be able to go Sunday night.
Yeah.
There's nothing sacrosanct about Tuesdays. Many democracies all over the world hold their elections over the weekend to give people the maximum ability to vote.
Yeah, obviously this has been going on for years.
Yeah.
That, you know, it's one of those arguments where you start to realize that the two-party system, or some people see it as the one-party system of the same type of person, which I agree with. I disagree on other levels, but I imagine that this chaos has, you know, benefited both parties at some point in time.
It has.
And the only person, the people that it doesn't benefit are the regular people who think they're part of a democracy. I think everyone, you know, of either party has used it to their advantage at some point in time.
Oh, yeah. I mean, look, the fact is that the people that were disenfranchising blacks in the South for years were Democrats.
Right.
They were not Republicans.
Right.
You know, it was Democrats that did it. The Strom Thurmonds and the rest of those people. So, yeah, both parties have benefited from this. Now it is time for one or both parties to admit their mistakes and move on, and let's put in place a voting system that works for the public, not just for the parties.
Absolutely. We've got a great show. If you want the overarching layout of the show, we've got today...
Larry Elder coming up. No.
Yeah, that would be great just to see you yell at Larry Elder. Yeah, I barely knew who the guy was. I had no idea. And all of a sudden, we're all sitting around after the show yesterday, and Riley just starts yelling at the TV. I mean, this went on for 15 minutes. It was me and B.W. McDonald and Pashman, Son of Lewis, and Linda Pashman of New Jersey were just like, oh my God, what's going on? We've got to have this guy as a guest. But we got Peter McGuire, who is a specialist in military law, to discuss the squadron that dissented. We've got General Claudia Kennedy, one of the highest ranking women in the U.S. Army, who will preview John Kerry's speech on national security tomorrow in Iowa. And finally, Eric Schlosser, who's going to scare the hell out of us and make us all vegetarians.
Yeah.
And also, hope, give me a little insight into the black market. I'm going to throw him some questions about opium. He's not asking. He's not not that prepared to answer those because he's got an article in Vanity Fair, but I think he knows some stuff.
Beef and opium?
Beef and opium, dude.
Okay.
It all ties together. And can I get my flu shot, please, or what?
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on with that, but we've definitely got some news on it after this. It's 16 past the hour, Air America Radio.
Hi, this is Al Franken, the host of the Al Franken Show on Air America Radio. For the last 6 months, we've been doing 3 hours a day of cutting-edge radio programming. We've had guests like Bill Clinton, John Kerry, and Strom Thurmond.
Yeah, Pekka, it knows no bigotry.
We've covered events like the handover of power in Iraq. We've explained difficult concepts like the growing national debt using nothing more than an ordinary slide whistle. Now we're presenting our show in a convenient, easy-to-use, one-hour version every night on Sundance Channel. Finally, you'll be able to see what we're talking about. Right, Strom?
Yes,
tune in every night at 11:30 on Sundance Channel for the Al Franken Show. And if you don't get Sundance Channel, go to their website, sundancechannel.com. Al and Sundance Channel. Together again.
If you're looking to save big this year on a high-quality steel structure from Allied Steel, call 877-99-STEEL. You still have time to add that much-needed workshop, retail, or church space before winter arrives. And our most popular sizes are priced for quick delivery. Get a 40x60 structure for under $18,000 or a 50x100 for under $32,000. Whatever size you need, Allied Steel will answer all of your questions and explain why our structures are the best and most affordable option. Call Allied Steel at 877-99-STEEL.
When I wear black, even a little dandruff shows. And my old dandruff shampoo just wasn't cutting it. I still had flakes and dry scalp. So I switched to Celsin Blue Moisturizing Shampoo with aloe and moisturizers. Doctor recommended Celsin Blue has a proven ingredient to relieve dandruff. Plus, it keeps my hair and scalp healthy and flake-free.
If you see flakes, try Celsin Blue. Celsin Blue Moisturizing Dandruff Shampoo.
I'm telling you, it really works.
Never wear black without the blue. Celsin Blue. Uses directed.
There's this type of breakdown.
Great, George. Now what do we do?
Which can lead to this kind of breakdown. And then there's serious Monday Night Breakdown. Leading into the big game, Mike and Larry get you pumped up and primed with a complete analysis and highlights for the night's game. The Monday Night Breakdown, 8 p.m. Eastern, on Sirius Sports Action 123.
How is parenting like Major League Baseball? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. Pro baseball starts its playoffs tomorrow. It was a challenging road for all of the teams who made it. You see, major leaguers play more than 160 games a year. Parenting has a long season, too. Day in and day out, you have to come ready to work. If you get discouraged and feel like you're on a losing streak with your kids, adjust your strategy. We can help. For a free 9-inning parenting coaching plan, visit FamilyMinute.net. Go for the win. And remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. If you'd like to get today's Family Minute offer, visit our website, FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net. Or give us a call at 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
AIDS has killed nearly 6 million children worldwide. That's more than every child in every preschool, grade school, and high school in New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, Washington, Atlanta, and Miami combined. The time to do something is now. The place is apathyislethal.org. AIDS is preventable. Apathy is lethal.
A public service announcement brought to you by the United Nations Foundation and the Ad Council.
Racing thoughts, horrible images crept through my mind. I thought I was seeing the devil and kept asking my friends if I was dead. I felt like I was having a heart attack. When we got to the hospital, I was committed to the psychiatric ward. I spent the next 14 days there.
17-year-old Lynn Smith had always heard ecstasy was the harmless and happy drug, which is only true if she'd never used it. Leave ecstasy alone. To learn how or to read other real-life ecstasy tragedies, visit drugfreeamerica.org.
Past the hour, Mark Maron here with Mark Riley.
Hey!
Air America Radio. I'm reaching out. John Leibowitz, if you're out there, you're listening. I know you've got a kid. You might be up early. I know you want to talk about this. Call us at 866-303-2270. That's a very specific shout-out.
Okay.
Somebody's got a problem, and I've got the air to do it. You're probably going to call Stern or probably air it somewhere else, but I don't feel like contacting you through the proper channels. But if you're up with your kid, you can overlook our past.
Ooh.
Give us a call. So talk about, hey, dude, flu shots.
Whoa!
This is unbelievable.
I hate needles.
Yeah. Look, I haven't had one in a few years. Sometimes I get them, sometimes I don't. But the truth of the matter is, it's very indicative of what George Bush does. The blame dispersal strategy.
Yeah.
This is mind-blowing to me that President Bush has tried to avoid any responsibility. Any responsibility for the flu vaccine shortage by making misleading statements. Right? During the presidential debate last Wednesday, Bush says, we relied upon a company out of England. Okay, first of all, it's an American company, all right, that has a lab in England, okay? And it was the British that decided the stuff was contaminated, okay? See, now, the flu vaccine that they were supposed to import is subject to U.S. regulation, even though it was made there by an American company.
Mm-hmm.
And they dropped the ball on this thing. And this is indicative of a lot of things about, and I think Kerry was right to come out at him with it.
Yeah.
To call him on it. Because what about our protection against bioterrorism? What about the troops? There's another report here that the troops are not getting their supplies of flu vaccines, and he's supposed to be equipping the troops on all levels and protecting them, and they can't even get flu shots?
Let's connect the dots here for a moment,
please.
Just so that people understand exactly what we're going through here.
Mm-hmm.
You have, on the one hand, the U.S. military, where, for example, in Camp Lejeune in North Carolina, they have no flu vaccines. They normally get 50 to 60,000 doses. They don't just have a case of the shorts. They have absolutely none. But you know where anyone can get a flu vaccine for nothing?
Where?
The United States Congress.
Oh, so
the Congress
and
their employees are all getting flu shots. And by the way, the Capitol physician has recommended that everyone, young, old, and in between, get their flu shots.
Well, you know, we talked to Manumoto?
Wait, Matsumoto.
Gary Matsumoto about the anthrax vaccine that they've been experimenting with the troops. This stuff that, causes autoimmune, disease because of an ingredient called squalene. And he said yesterday that these, not only are they contaminated in a biological way, but these contain some squalene, these English flu shots.
The flu shots,
that are made by an American company.
Well, they have, all of those have been deemed contaminated and cannot be used. There's only one authorized flu vaccine manufacturer now. And by the way, several states across the country, rather than waiting for the feds, are dealing directly with the manufacturer because they've got a case of the shorts.
Right.
So that you have, I believe it was, well, I don't want to misspeak about which states. I believe New Jersey was one of them that said, we're dealing direct with the manufacturer. We're not going to the federal.
But also look at Bush's language. That he's not willing to take responsibility for the American people, in terms of, providing them with something that we've all taken for granted in the sense that, this is a basic, health service that we rely on every year. Kerry called him on it. I'm quoting John Kerry. If you can't get flu vaccines to Americans, how are you going to protect them against bioterrorism? Good question. Quote, if you can't get flu vaccines to Americans, what kind of health care program are you running? End quote. This is real stuff in terms of an honest criticism. And also, look at George Bush, the guy who is always sort of like celebrating his alliance with Britain without, at the drop of a dime, turns on him. At the drop of a dime, it's the English guy's fault.
Yeah.
It ain't my fault. It's their oversight. It's Britain's oversight. And, 2 days ago, he was like, Britain's our best friend. But, without even thinking about it, bam, so much for friends. This guy's selfish. He's self-serving. His government only serves his friends. And he has no care for the American people on a broad level.
The Capitol Physician's Office has already dispensed nearly 2,000 flu shots this fall, and the doses are still available. Contrast this with Camp Lejeune and, for example, Fort Bragg, where they have a limited supply of vaccine.
Yeah.
In fact, what they're doing is soldiers who are shipping out get the shots.
Yeah.
Those who stay behind at Fort Bragg don't get the shots.
Yeah, and you just know that in Congress, they've got all sorts of, automatic vaccines. I'm sure they've got their supply of Cipro, they've got their flu vaccines,
they've got
everything in the cabinet.
And in the meantime, the 82nd Airborne Division, 15,000 strong, and that's one of the major units at Fort Bragg, they only have vaccine for 3,000 to 5,000 paratroopers out of the 15,000.
Right.
So, right, what are we doing here? What's happening, folks, is that the politicians are kind of sort of looking out for themselves while the military, who all of them pretend to support, really aren't getting the support.
Well, you know, in the back rooms that, the Bush family operatives are trying to find out who their pharmaceutical buddies are to make a nice big pot of money off of this next time around.
Yeah.
Apparently this company dropped the ball, but because of their alliance with pharmaceutical companies, you know someone's going to make a lot of money.
Let's see, who's next on the donors list?
Exactly.
who's the next biggest donor? Because they'll be the ones that get the next biggest contract.
When I hear about this stuff, even with Eric Schlosser's article in Vanity Fair, we're going to talk to him in the last hour, which I'm sure will be worth waiting for, that, you know, these oversights are very intentional because a lot of them are lobbied, you know what I mean? Like, the meat industry is polluted, all right, because, you know, the meat lobby is so strong. They do this stuff on purpose. They allow this stuff to happen.
Yeah, and by the way, they will allow people to contract the flu.
Right.
All right? Now, they're going to say, well, it's the younger cohorts. You know, the paratroopers are basically between that 18 to 40-year-old range, and they're not as susceptible to getting sick as the elderly or children or whatever. And that is absolutely true. But if the Capitol is saying that everybody there should get a flu shot, whether they're between 18 and 40 or between 9 and 90, why is that not good enough for the American military?
Yeah, and on the bioterrorism front, if they can't be protected against those, you know, uranium-tipped bullets, they can't be protected against, you know, biological warfare, you know, and this is such a heinous threat, and now Zarqawi says he's like, uniting with Osama bin Laden, and people are speculating, is that a sign of strength or is it a sign of weakness? He used to be a free agent. But it just, you know, it increases the idea of the terrorists willing to do these kind of things and the troops being ill-equipped, and, you know, I guess we'll talk about that after the break.
Yeah, we'll talk about that after the break. And much more. We've got the president's palm pilot. I thought somebody came back and said Ramon was in the lobby, but I can't. Don't quote me on that.
Right? Go find him.
We also got the liberal agenda direct from the Streisand compound as we roll on here on Air America Radio.
Attention, Single Air America listeners. I'm here with Brush Lintball.
This is the old Brusho, Brush Lintball.
To tell you about DemocraticMatch.com. You're listening to Air America because you're intelligent, progressive, and like the thousands of members at DemocraticMatch.com, you don't drink right-wing Kool-Aid. Right, Brush?
Right-wing wackos are fine to laugh at on all their radio programs, but no one wants to date one, right?
DemocraticMatch.com is a dating site made specifically for Air America listeners and other progressive individuals who want to date those with similar worldviews. What do you say, Brush?
Democrats are smarter. Democrats are more evolved. Democrats are more fun. Democrats make better lovers. Democrats have better hearts.
This is your chance to actually meet the other people who listen to Air America, people who cherish the principles of our democracy, believe in a woman's right to choose, believe in protecting our incredible planet. DemocraticMatch.com is completely free for a limited time, so what have you got to lose? Sign up today at DemocraticMatch.com.
Best-selling rock music uber-author Dave Marsh brings his thoughts and ideas to Sirius with Kick Out the Jams.
You know, if you go and buy a record in Europe, you buy the record.
A little bit rock and roll, a little bit politics, and a little bit of addressing life's mysteries.
In America, if you buy a record, you have shrink wrap, and then you have this little dog ear or something like that that you have to get a special tool to take off before you can get the record out, or else risk all of your fingernails.
Kick Out the Jams with Dave Marsh, Sundays, 10 to noon Eastern, Sirius Talk Central 148.
This is Earth and Sky. On this day 5 years ago, the United Nations declared that 6 billion humans inhabit the Earth.
It's also estimated that 1 in 5 people worldwide lack access to safe drinking water. We spoke with famed Stanford ecologist Paul Ehrlich about water and the growing population.
The problem is that not only are we pumping out groundwater at unsustainable rates, we're also polluting water. For example, when I first started to do field research in the Rocky Mountains, you could drink the water almost anywhere fresh out of a stream. Now you'll get giardia if you do that, because there are so many people and so many animals brought in by people that diseases are spreading. One of the things that few people understand is that the epidemiological environment, that is, our susceptibility as a species to diseases, is running downhill very rapidly as our population gets larger. It's in part because the more people we have, the more likely it is that new diseases will jump into our population from animal populations, particularly in Africa. And it's in part due to our rapid transport system, so that sick people can spread disease rapidly around the world, as, for example, SARS indicated.
More from Paul Ehrlich on our next Earth and Sky.
Thanks today to the National Fish and Wildlife Foundation, promoting the conservation of native fish, wildlife, plants, and their habitats. We're Block and Bird for Earth and Sky.
Optimist volunteers serve as leaders, mentors, and friends to help kids achieve a more positive and productive life in 3,600 communities and 19 countries. This year, Optimists will raise and invest over $80 million in 60,000 community service projects that help 6 million children and teens. Optimists have been bringing out the best in kids for nearly 100 years. For the location of your nearest Optimist Club, call 1-800-500-8130.
The Consultant Pharmacist is your own personal health care consultant. You'll find them in nursing homes, other long-term care settings, and in your community, anywhere there's a need for high-level medication management. But Consultant Pharmacy is more than just managing medications. It's about helping people live better and longer lives. This message brought to you by the American Society of Consultant Pharmacists.
Big Brothers Big Sisters presents 100 Years of Helping Kids.
Today, Kyle and his big brother Justin,
hello,
hi,
are here to share some stuff we've learned.
With kids, it's not always what you say, but how you say it.
Hey, Kyle, you want to go to a foreign film festival?
Nah, that's boring.
Okay.
Hey, Kyle, you want to go to a foreign film festival?
Yeah, that's a great idea.
From time to time, a kid may double dare you.
Wow, that looks heavy. Bet you can't lift it.
Are you serious?
I double dare you.
Okay.
See? I told you. Uh-oh.
Moments like these happen every day.
Making a big difference in the life of a child. To find out the many ways you can help support kids in your community, call 1-888-412-BIGS or go to BigBrothersBigSisters.org.
That's BigBrothersBigSisters.org.
This message brought to you by Big Brothers Big Sisters and the Ad Council.
Until next time.
What is that, Jake Giles? Wow. Who put that in here? Clutch Larson.
Clutch Larson and his worst music choices.
34 past the hour. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley. Jake Giles did, I like they did a couple good albums. I don't know if they did good albums. I think they had a couple good songs.
Didn't he live with Faye Dunaway for a while, Peter Wolf?
Peter Wolf did, yeah. He's a little kooky.
Yeah.
And I think Jay Giles, the actual guy Jay Giles, I know this to be a fact, actually owns a car refurbishing business in New England, because my cousin, who's got some expensive cars, brings them up to Jay Giles' shop to get them worked on, like Maseratis and that kind of stuff.
Wow.
Yeah, I just heard from
later for the guitar. I'm busy.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think they did all right. They finally did all right. They're one of those unsung bands that took years to really click in. They had a couple of early hits that were okay, and then I think the Centerfold album, or Love Stinks, was a huge record, and then the one after that.
See, it's funny. They had a kind of underground dance song, Give It To Me, which was popular.
Give It To Me.
Yeah,
that's a good tune.
But see, there
that's the old one.
There
yeah.
was a longer version. It was like a 7-minute version of it that they used to play in the clubs that people used to really go off for, because it had a break in the middle.
Right.
One of the early songs that had a break in the middle.
I got to admit that. I loved that, the Centerfold album.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. There's a couple of songs. I liked Freeze Frame, and I liked Centerfold, too. It was good. It was good.
Yeah, well, that's salacious.
But it came, you know, that silly video with them playing the drums with the fish. And, you know, remember that?
Yes.
It was just horrible. It was, like, right at the beginning, right? Was that for Love Stinks? Wasn't that right at the beginning of MTV?
Right.
Now, look at Larson's like, I don't know. Apparently you know a lot more about the silly band that I put on the soundtrack.
Whoa.
Than
yes.
Larson's back. He was away for 2 days. Remember how relaxed it was here? How easy it was. How they, you know what I mean? We just kind of hung out. And
yeah, well,
now I'm all worked up.
No more.
But I realize what Larson does. Now he's got me all full of the bully juice. Because there's something about Clutch Larson when he comes in. I just want to argue with him. And then I get all worked up. So now I'm all full of the bully juice. I don't even need M&Ms.
You don't need M&Ms?
No, sir.
But you need Ramon, though.
Well, you know, I just called the paramedics. I've never had to do this before, but Ramon's out over in the lounge. He's laying on a table. And I think he's okay, but I can't deal with it. And Larson's, of course, got to respond to, you know, listener email because that's his hobby. But anyways, he's taking some shots, but not hurtful shots. I'm not going to say anything about
with
Weight
love.
Watchers. I'm not going to bring up Weight Watchers. I'm not going to bring up anything. No kidding, man.
Hello, can I have another day off, please?
Look, he's taking his phone out. His wife just called. Why are you letting him do that to you? Can't you shut him off? Talk to him in his head, Larson. You don't deserve this. That's funny. I think his wife started calling him Smarty Pants. Did she? I'm kidding. Welcome back, buddy. I just wanted to give you the right type of welcome. Here's the bomb pilot for today. Here's the president's schedule. 7:30 a.m. Wake up. Stay on message. Must out-scare Kerry. Must not have fear gap. 8 a.m. Leave for Iowa. Pledge to hunt down and kill seed rot and corn leaf blight. That's something you probably could do. Just give me a shovel. I got a ranch. 10 a.m. Speak at rally, Mason City, Iowa. Quote, John Kerry wants the United Nations to control your Social Security and your guns and your children's guns. End quote. 12:10 p.m. Speak at rally, Rochester Aviation Hangar, Rochester, Minnesota. Note, resist temptation to wear flight suit or make joke about Rochester's fine work with Jack Benny. Mr. Minnie. 3:05 p.m. Focus on Rural America event in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. Note, tell them John Kerry wants to flood the market with illegal immigrant cheese from France. 8 p.m. back in Washington. Assure Americans that my plan for providing flu vaccines is just as comprehensive as my plan for democracy in Iraq. 9 p.m. call Cheney. Praise him for hitting the fear angle, but warn him that after you mention nukes, your only card left is Armageddon. 10 p.m. bedtime. Think happy thought. Quote, in just four more... What's wrong with me? In just four more weeks, I can unleash the October surprise. End quote. Give me the creeps. It's all give me the creeps. This is the weird thing. I'm talking to my buddy Lipside about a couple things last night that I'll get to later, but I was talking to him, and I mentioned to him that, like, it's really weird when you've got to be just, if you're one of the people like me, that you're afraid of what this administration will do in order to maintain power. Like, whenever they talk about terrorism, there's part of me that automatically assumes that they're going to do something. That's crazy. And I know a lot of people think like me, that they don't trust this administration. There's people like myself, Dan Pashman, Son of Lewis, and Linda Pashman, that there was a complicity through negligence, you know, in 9/11 and the maintenance of a culture of fear in order to provoke people to stay with them, you know, to frighten them into staying with them. It's a very weird phenomenon that I know there's hundreds and hundreds, thousands of people out there that are, if you have any of those thoughts that you think that this administration might do something, you know, let alone, you know, screw with the ballots, right?
But the ballot thing is a done deal already.
Yeah, but it's like, how can anybody be on the fence? How can anybody be undecided about an administration you know tampers with things, you know steals things, you know are criminal to the core? It's mind-blowing.
Well, some people are Mark, it takes people a minute to get to wrap their brain around the idea that they voted for someone who was capable of doing this.
It's interesting because Cheney's saying that, you know, that John Kerry can't wrap his mind around the idea of a possible nuclear attack.
Yeah, right.
And meanwhile, Al Zarqawi, you know, Abu Musab, Alistair Cowie, the heinous, terrorist that's,
the beheader.
The beheader. And apparently, he's done a lot of character acting because I've seen several different photographs of him in several different outfits.
And he looks it's like different terrorist, every time, right?
Terrorist, deli guy,
yeah.
accountant. But he is horrible. He's a horrible man. And he announced, I guess yesterday or the day before yesterday, that he will be aligning himself with Osama bin Laden. It's not clear whether bin Laden knows this or what this means exactly. Some people are speculating that it means that he's taken too many hits and he's trying to look strong for his base.
Did he sign a deal or something?
No, I think he apparently there have been trouble. There's problems with them. There's a lot of infighting in the terrorist world.
There was a rampant rumor that they were actually rivals, the two of them. And that although their methodology was strikingly similar, that in fact they were rivals and that they didn't care for each other much.
Right.
Now, if this is true, if this is accurate that Zarqawi is now looking to unite with bin Laden on some level, because remember that Al-Qaeda is a very decentralized organization. He doesn't have to, sit down with bin Laden anywhere on the planet.
Right.
All he has to do is say, well, okay, we will act in concert with the Al-Qaeda people when we come across them.
But also there's the issue of money. That, you have to assume that with bin Laden's operation, not only is he filthy rich, but there's money coming into the Al-Qaeda operation, and that on that level there's some, there would be a reason for him to say that he will now align himself with, because of funds and maybe more troops, insurgents, who the hell knows? But the idea that there are rivalries within the terrorist community, like, I will be the greatest terrorist. No, not you, me. It'll be me that they're actually fighting about this, is in a way encouraging, because that means that, there is the possibility that they will sink their own ship in some respects, that, it'll break down within the troops.
Well, it's interesting because when you look at Iraq, where all of these different terrorist groups have coalesced and come together, you find that there are insurgents who have one agenda, and then there are other insurgents who have a totally different agenda. The Sunni insurgents have a different agenda from the Shiite insurgents. Some of the foreign fighters are coming in, and by the way, alienating some of the rank and file Iraqis, for want of, I hate to use that for a whole nation of people, but just ordinary, everyday Iraqis are now getting upset about the number of foreign fighters that are coming in, and the fact that foreign fighters don't respect their lives in some cases any more than the Americans do.
Right. Oh, yeah. So there's the Baathists, the secular insurgency, that there are just nationalists.
They are nationalists. They are pan-Arabists in some cases. They're people that say they have the same vision that Saddam had, a pan-Arab regional alliance with, in Saddam's case, he always envisioned himself as the supreme leader of that regional alliance.
And now that Bush is dismissing the idea that, if they choose an Islamic theocracy, then that's their choice. It's a democracy.
Democracy
that's
is
crazy.
Democracy.
As long as we just get all the resources, corralled in and under our auspices.
Well,
is that the right word? Auspices?
Auspices is the right word. But you know what? I think Bush was really saying the fix is in. Okay, it doesn't matter if the Shiites win, but of course, we're not letting them.
It's a trial bloom. Now they're starting to realize that if they do, and they're supported by Iran, that would, already yesterday, Iran endorsed George Bush.
That's right.
But think about it. The Shia clergy is primarily seated in Iran. Is that correct?
Iran and to some extent Syria as well.
Well, so if that does, Iraq does become a Shia, a Muslim state or a Muslim democracy even, then they would have support from the region, and on some level then, George Bush could pull the troops out, which is, there's some gossip that that's what he wants to do anyway.
Yeah, that's his end game.
But then, then it would be, he'd be having to navigate, a relationship with sort of a partial pan-Arabic state, which would seem to defeat the purpose of the war.
Well, see, what you would then see, I believe, Mark, is Iraq descend into chaos, because the Sunnis and the Baathists are not going to sit back and allow even a democratically elected Shiite state to oppress them. And that's the first thing that's going to be on their mind. They're going to say, wait a minute, we're going to be the ones with the short end of the stick now. We're not going for this.
Well, speaking of renegade theologians, Pat Robertson actually warned George W. Bush before the invasion of Iraq that he should prepare Americans for the likelihood of casualties, but the president told him, quote, we're not going to have any casualties.
Yeah.
End quote. We're going to talk more. There seems to be a wave of evangelical Christian movement in bad ways. We'll talk about that in a second here on Air America Radio.
You can burn a few calories with this brain teaser from Cortislim. What do Stamford, Connecticut, Burbank, California, and the Cortislim lifestyle have in common? Here to tell us is Dr. Greg.
Well, the connection is that those cities each have a population of over 100,000 people. So, hypothetically, you might say that the entire population of, say, Abilene, Texas, not only ordered Cortislim one time, but ordered Cortislim again. And that doesn't surprise us at all, because over 100,000 reorders tells you that the Cortislim lifestyle, and that's managing everyday stress to create positive change, including your weight, along with proper diet, exercise, and Cortislim, well, it's working.
So when you hear that the number of customers who've reordered Cortislim is roughly equal to the entire population of Green Bay, ask yourself, wouldn't you be more comfortable stepping off the scale and into the Cortislim lifestyle this holiday season? It's as easy as calling 800-921-BURN, and you'll get $20 off two bottles of Cortislim. Call 800-921-BURN. That's 800-921-BURN.
Well, Mr. Quinn, I have your loan application here. I see you want to finance one of our big screen TVs.
Oh, yeah, I love that TV.
Of course you do. The thing is, your credit report has a few hiccups or bumps.
Well, bumps, yes.
What we call red flags or warnings.
You see, I think...
Actually, you have huge gaping chasms of incredibly bad decision-making.
Okay, I can explain.
I mean monumental credit mistakes and phenomenally ridiculous, laughable, really. I mean, oh, Mr. Quinn... I gotta frame this one.
Before you go for a loan, be prepared with Score Power from Equifax. You'll get your credit report, credit score, and you'll learn how your credit decisions can affect your score, all for just $14.95. It's the first step to getting the things you want. So check out Score Power at Equifax.com or call 1-877-4-EQUIFAX. That's EQUIFAX. Get the power. Score Power at Equifax.com.
Howard Stern in college football, NFL, the Weather Channel, BBC, it's getting late, it's Stephen, the G's at the gate, the Score TV, the Music Box, commercial free discovery, MLB and Patriot with left and right to call the shots, Matt's affection, John McMullen, Laurie Ingram, Michael Reagan, Alex Bennett, Frank Perfector, Traffic Savage, Adam Cryer, Randy Rosen, and NPR, there's comedy and all the stars.
Do you honor your mother and father? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. Perhaps you grew up in a home where you only remember abuse, alcoholism, drugs. Your memories of your father or mother are painful. Well, it's a lot easier to remember only the bad times and forget about the things our parents did right. Maybe. Just maybe it's time to look at them through a different lens, to honor them regardless of their failures. Start understanding that they may have experienced similar pain from their parents. Can you thank them today for something? Their work, their sacrifice, some good memory? Think about it. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. To find some great resources for strengthening your family, go to FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net. Or call 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
All right, you 4 years old son, ready for the big leagues. Put your padding on, buddy. There you go, helmet. Okay, that's right. Your thigh guards. Now don't forget your mouth guard. You don't want to be losing teeth in your first game. Well, they're baby teeth, but yeah, put it in.
Daddy.
Don't let them worry you. They may be over 200 pounds and kind of mean looking, but you're ready for them. Just run through them. Here's the ball. Run!
Daddy?
Don't look at me. Run with it. Go, boy. Run!
But I could get hurt.
No pain, no gain. Now run! Come on.
You wouldn't treat your child like an adult. So why put them in adult seat belts? If they're under 4'9", they need a booster seat.
Ah, you should have sprayed on them.
For more information, go to boosterseat.gov. This message brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Department of Transportation.
When was the last time you tested your smoke alarms? Last month? Last year? Can't remember? If you're not sure your smoke alarms are working, then how can you be sure you'll be protected if a fire breaks out? Don't gamble with your life and assume your smoke alarms are working. Test each one every month so you know they'll be ready to protect you and your family if there's a fire. Test your alarms for life.
makes me feel good. 50 past the hour, Mark Maron. It's Morning's Edition. I'm here with Mark Riley.
Hi.
Kalo on the board. Clutch Larson in the booth with Brendan B.W. McDonald, Dan Pashman, son of Lewis, and Linda Pashman out in the night picking up information.
Ramon, in the ether.
Ramon is being tended to. Cousin paramedics in the lounge. What's that about? I guess we'll know exactly what it's about soon. Pat Robertson. Who is a Bush supporter, mind you.
Scary individual, I would say.
Yeah, I would say so. And he, you know, he ran for president, and he was like, you know, he was sort of threatening to some people. I mean, like, you know, he looked like he had some movement, right?
Well, Pat Robertson was a very strange guy. He opened his campaign in Bed-Stuy, you know, in the middle of Black Brooklyn.
Yeah.
He started his campaign. He is one of those guys who has constructed a network of evangelicals. That is, and I mean, he had his own television network for a while.
Send money, sinner.
Yes, the 700 Club.
Yeah.
I think that was like $700 a throw or something. I don't know exactly what that was all about.
You're still dirty. Send more money.
Yeah, but he told Bush before the invasion that the country needed to prepare for casualties, and Bush said, casualties? They're not going to be any casualties.
The arrogance. This is beautiful. I mean, Pat Robertson said he described Bush in the meeting as, quote, the most self-assured man I've ever met in my life. That's Pat Robertson, one of the great con men hucksters of our time, who pretends to be confident to, you know, like to the point where you would, you know, thousands of people send him money. Please send money, dirty, broken people. Help yourselves. But, you know, if he says that about him, that's kind of scary. I mean, he might as well just said, I've met the Antichrist and he's in the White House.
Oh, yes. But you know what? He is still an ardent Bush supporter. He says Bush has been picked by God for this mission. He is one of those guys that, and the thing is, I used to watch him on TV every now and then. You know, I'd be channel surfing in his face.
Dude, I love watching those guys.
Well, he wasn't one of those fire and brimstone guys. Pat Robertson perfected the, calling it an art.
The art
of turning evangelical Christianity into a talk show format.
It's a job.
Yeah, he didn't jump up and, you know, heal people and throw them over and all that. He sat at a desk. He had a couple of co-hosts, including a black guy. I forgot his name now.
Ministry of Smug Condescension.
Yeah, and you know, he would have different guests, and at the end of the show, they would all join hands and pray. It was all a very threatening stuff presented in a non-threatening way.
Send money, dirty, broken, evil people.
Yeah.
Help yourself. Send me money.
Yeah.
Look it. I need a new chair.
Yep.
Yeah, I just think it's all, it's... Well, what do you think, Riley? What's his angle here? Is he buffering for the possibility of a Bush loss and sending up his own trial balloon?
I don't think so. I think Robertson was permanently broken of the political habit when he ran back in the day, which I believe was 1988. He sought the Republican presidential nomination against Bush's daddy, as a matter of fact.
Hey, you know, there's a conspiracy theorists, bloggers, please, you know, lay it on me. I know that Robertson's father was in the government and that there's a pretty significant conspiracy line lineage to his ambition. If you've got any information on that, lay it on me, will you?
Yeah.
Because I forget what it is, but I know that there were, you know, back in my frightened times. And I love watching those evangelical guys. I used to love watching Bob Tilton.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
He was
a
guy that speak in tongues.
There's about 12 of them. I mean, there are guys now for whom evangelical Christianity is beyond even the big business that Pat Robertson envisioned. There's a guy named Creflo Dollar. Who travels across the country with a road show bigger than Bob Dylan. Guy's got sound trucks all over the place. I saw his thing at the Garden one time.
It's happening, guys.
But see, what they do is they a lot of these evangelicals tie into other areas. For example, some of them specialize in helping their congregants make money. You know, they have these different money-making schemes or money-making oils or money-making drinks or send me your money and I will show you how to make money.
Well, have you heard of this? Listen to this. One of the newest groups to start, you know, trying to get voters to register to vote is Redeem the Vote.
Yeah.
The religious community's answer to MTV's secular Rock the Vote. Okay? The group is touring battleground states with Christian rock groups and voter registration drives that organizers say are putting the fear of God into Senator John Kerry's supporters. And they're dragging, like, Caviezel. Caviezel, the guy who played Christ.
Rise of Caviezel?
Caviezel. They're dragging him around, the guy who's in the Passion of the Christ, and he's like, yeah, sure, I'll help you out. And they go on the road, and yeah, their first event, they're like, weren't you going to put the outfit on? I mean,
Put the beard on, dummy. We want to make this work.
Well, you know, Redeem the Vote founder Randy Brinson says, and again, he's one of those guys that drank the Kool-Aid, just like that guy Tony Perkins. Yeah, he was the one that said, what was it, the Family Research Council, that his
Dobson? Is that Dobson you're talking about?
No, Perkins. Perkins was the one that said that his audience was more concerned with same-sex marriage than they were about the economy. Remember that?
And proud of it.
Well, here's Randy Brinson. This is major, major news that the major media have ignored just because we're not liberal. End quote.
That's crazy.
Of course it's crazy.
I got an email from some guy the other day. He was like, he was watching Tough Crowd, and he said, you know, I saw you 10 years ago, and I thought you were a genius, and after I saw you rambling on Tough Crowd, I'm like, Colin was right. You are a spokesman for the New York Times. It's like, where did they get this stuff?
Well, you know what's really, what's tricky about this whole Redeem the Vote thing?
Yeah.
Is that these folks have apparently gotten evangelical Christian names because they've been sending out emails all over the country from marketing firms that were involved in promoting the Passion of the Christ.
Yeah.
So, you know, folks who went to see the Passion of the Christ may not have known this at the time, but they're being used.
Right.
You know,
of course they're being used. Are you kidding? Mel Gibson is now a major player in Hollywood. Icon Films is second only to, like, Spielberg's group.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't do anything in Hollywood anymore without going over there and trying to sell it to Mel Gibson. I mean, the truth of the matter is he made $500 million, and he's going to make more on the back of Christ, which isn't unusual. It's just his con game was bigger than the other guy's con game. You know, Pat Robertson is small time, you know, in relation to Mel Gibson's tremendous exploitation of the death of Christ.
Well, yeah. I mean, Pat Robertson didn't have a movie camera.
But it's been going on for years. You know, they used to do it with paintings. They used to do it with, you know, churches. They do it any way they could. Christ has always generated a tremendous amount of money for Christian con men.
Yeah. And by the way, back in the day, meant death for a lot of people, too, if you go back to the witch hunts and that sort of thing. Because remember, all of that stuff was done in the name of religion, Mark.
Yeah.
It's some scary stuff if you look at it historically. And then you hear these folks talking about, you know, this is major, major news. And, you know, we're in favor of these folks because they, you know, share our views on same-sex marriage and abortion and that sort of thing. It's just scary stuff.
Thank God my spiritual beliefs are so tenuous and fleeting. Or I might get killed. All right, here's the liberal agenda for today. Write these down. One, in case Bush wins second term, copyright phrase, quote, draft beer, not me, end quote. That'll be a gold mine. Two, organized elementary school group, Mary Cheney lesbian playground pals. Yeah. Three, for tonight's Game 7 of the Yankees-Red Sox series, host non-competitive unity party celebrating their differences. Four, condemn flu vaccine for killing off a unique species. Five, today's phrase, just drop it into conversation, quote, you know why Schwarzenegger came out for stem cell research, don't you? Because he was made in a lab, man. That can't be natural. Wake up. What do we got now coming up?
In the next hour of Morning Sedition, we've got Mark Maron's Dream Diary, Iraq, Birth of a Nation, The War on Brains, and author Peter McGuire on War and Resistance as we continue here on Air America Radio.
Ever seen a hornet, Shelly?
No, ma'am.
Oh, well, you're fine. What are you waiting for? They've built a nest outside your window. See?
No.
You will when you climb 15 feet up this ladder to get rid of them. Take this insecticide and broom and send those stinging meanies packing.
What if I fall? I could get hurt.
Oh, you know about gravity already. You're so smart. Oh, go, 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 go. The hornets are waiting.
Shoot! Get away!
Agree with them, dear. Hornets hate high-pitched noises. Yeah, try not to swallow too many.
Get away!
Knock that nest out of the park.
You wouldn't treat your child like an adult, so why put them in adult seatbelts? If they're under 4'9", they need a booster seat.
I can't see! Are they biting me?
Oh, that's so cute. No, honey, hornets don't bite, silly. They sting.
Ow!
For more information, go to boosterseat.gov. This message brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Department of Transportation.
Ben.
I am Edison Photograph, to delight those who would have melody on.
Now, Sirius Satellite Fresh. It's on.
This This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. Bush administration officials are scrambling to make sense out of the latest development from the camp of Jordanian terrorist mastermind Abu Musab al-Zarqawi. Al-Zarqawi, who the United States had three different opportunities to take out before the war in Iraq, has recently pledged allegiance to fellow terrorist mastermind Osama bin Laden. That development over the weekend sent shockwaves to the U.S. intelligence community and the Pentagon, since speculation had been strong that both were at odds with each other. But that does not seem to be the case now, heightening U.S. concern. British-based charity organization CARE has decided to pull out of Iraq after its top official there was abducted. There's been no updated word on the status of Margaret Hassan, who was married to an Iraqi national and lived in the country for the better part of 25 years. CARE decided that it was not taking any chances with the latest abduction. Here in the United States, the presidential campaigns are in the final stretch before the election. John Kerry remains on the stump, telling voters that he's ready to serve notice on Bush in just under 2 weeks' time.
14 days from this very moment, Americans will have been to the polls, and I know that you came here tonight to give George W. Bush his two-week notice.
John Kerry yesterday on the campaign trail while in Florida. Both President Bush and John Kerry yesterday vied for the attention of senior voters, swapping charges over the Social Security issue and the looming shortage of the flu vaccine. Kerry yesterday blasted Bush over the nation's supply of the flu vaccine. Kerry said that if you can't get flu vaccines to Americans, how are you going to protect them against bioterrorism? Kerry also referenced the problems in the nation's healthcare system, rhetorically asking George W. Bush, what kind of program are you running? Bush responded saying the vaccine shortage was out of his control, blaming the manufacturer's defect for the shortage. Democrats may be getting the ear of moderate Republican voters on the issue of embryonic stem cell research. This with its potential to finding cures for debilitating illnesses. Recent death of Christopher Reeve and early Ronald Reagan may be prompting some attention. One Democratic Senate candidate in the Northwest is getting the attention of her opponent and voters with ads promoting stem cell research. And actor Michael J. Fox is said to be having an impact with the television ad campaign, playing in swing states backing such research and the Kerry candidacy. Republicans contend the Democrats are greatly overstating the promise of cures and are misstating the president's position. And more than 47 million Americans collecting Social Security will experience a 2.7% increase or to extra $25 a month, but much of that increase will cover the cost of higher Medicare premiums. Social Security Administration announced the increases yesterday. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
Bang, bang, bang on the door, baby. Knock a little louder, baby. Bang, bang, bang on the door, baby. I can't hear you. Bang, bang, bang on the door.
Fred Schneider of the B52 Shimmies Only on Sirius. Every Friday night at 9 Eastern. Party out of bounds with Fred exclusively on Sirius First Wave 22.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. From cavemen to Tim Allen, tools have always been in vogue. But now, this 3,000-year-old science is really taking off. Literally. When I come back, we'll pole vault into the tool age. In today's world of discord and disappointment, one thing's for sure. Car cover owners are so satisfied, they buy their car covers all over again. Think car covers are a hassle? No. Research shows owners find covers easy to put on and take off. Are all covers the same? No. The standard in car cover fabric is Blockit by Kimberly Clark. Don't let sun and dust damage your car. Kimberly Clark's Blockit fabric's got you covered. That's Blockit by Kimberly Clark. From the Stone Age, tools have made getting around an art. But now, this industry's gone cyber. Arum International's designed the ultimate, a tool that tests and helps perfect other tools. Called the Variable Dynamic Testbed Vehicle, its complex drive-by-wire systems enable researchers to study drivers' and vehicles' reactions to and work out the bugs in new technologies in a virtual world. Result? Time and life-saving innovations, like collision avoidance and navigation systems. I'm Bobby Likas. Like us, you'll love us.
I heard about this company dumping toxins in local rivers, and I called their executives to say stop. But I never got through to anyone except secretary after secretary. In the meantime, the rivers are being destroyed, birds and fish are dying, and the local kids are getting sick with cancer. So I organized a huge protest, and we actually got the company shut down. And everyone starts celebrating until we realize that half the town's now unemployed. The welfare offices can barely handle the overload. People are being kicked out of their homes. And to top it all off, the rivers are still contaminated. The birds and fish are still dying. And most of the kids with cancer are twice as sick because they can't get the health care they need since their parents lost the health insurance they had when they worked for the company that dumped all the toxins in the first place.
Saving the world isn't easy, but saving a life is. And just one pint of blood can save up to 3 lives. Visit bloodsaves.com to learn more. This public service announcement was brought to you by the Ad Council.
During the next 5 seconds, think about this. How do newborns learn?
Come on, smile for Daddy.
Come on,
clap your hands.
That's right, with their parents, Mom and Dad. Affection and games are important to nurture a baby's self-esteem. But did you know that his developing brain needs even more? Now, if we could hear this baby's brainwave, it might sound like this. On the other hand, the brainwave of a baby who is read to, sung to, and talked to in full sentences would sound more like this. Big difference, isn't it? Scientists have proven that a baby's brain develops better when you read, sing, and speak with complete sentences, especially during the first year of life. So talk to your baby at bath time, read before bedtime, maybe even sing while you're changing diapers. An early start. Now that's smart. A message from El Valor McCormick Tribute Foundation and the Ad Council.
As the American military gets smaller, who will be there to protect us? Who will be there to help us recover from disasters? Who will be there to put their lives on the line for ours? With the support of their employers, the National Guard and Reserve will be there when we need them. They make up half of our American military forces. And with the combat readiness training they receive throughout the year, the men and women of the Guard and Reserve will be prepared to support peacekeeping missions, as well as humanitarian relief efforts and rescue operations. As soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines, they'll be in a position to serve our country. As their employer, so will you. For more information on how you as an employer can help, contact your state committee via their website at esgr.org. That's ESGR.org. A public service message brought to you by the employer support of the Guard and Reserve and the Ad Council.
Growing up on a farm out here, I just thought life was great. I had my own horse. I drove a tractor with my dad. For me, I thought farm life was the American dream. Hi, my name is Rex Phipps. That all changed when I was reminded how dangerous working on a farm can be. My cousin was almost killed in a terrible accident. I had to do something. I couldn't help my cousin, but I could help other people avoid this on their farms. So I volunteered at farm safety day camps for children of all ages.
teaching kids about being safe around tractors, tools, and animals. Just like I found a need to fill in my community, your community needs you. Find out how you can help in your hometown. Get out and live. Volunteer.
Brought to you by the Hitachi Foundation's Yoshiyama Award for Exemplary Service to the Community and this station.
During the next 5 seconds, think about this. How do newborns learn?
Come on, smile for Daddy. Clap your hands.
That's right, with their parents, Mom and Dad. Affection and games are important to nurture a baby's self-esteem. But did you know that his developing brain needs even more? Now, if we could hear this baby's brainwave, it might sound like this. On the other hand, the brainwave of a baby who is read to, sung to, and talked to in full sentences would sound more like this. Big difference, isn't it? Scientists have proven that a baby's brain develops better when you read, sing, and speak with complete sentences, especially during the first year of life. So talk to your baby at bath time, read before bedtime, maybe even sing while you're changing diapers. An early start. Now that's smart. A message from El Valor McCormick Tribute Foundation and the Ad Council.
As the American military gets smaller, who will be there to protect us? Who will be there to help us recover from disasters? Who will be there to put their lives on the line for ours? With the support of their employers, the National Guard and Reserve will be there when we need them. They make up half of our American military forces. And with the combat readiness training they receive throughout the year, the men and women of the Guard and Reserve will be prepared to support peacekeeping missions, as well as humanitarian relief efforts and rescue operations. As soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines, they'll be in a position to serve our country. As their employer, so will you. For more information on how you as an employer can help, contact your state committee via their website at esgr.org. That's ESGR.org. A public service message brought to you by the employer support of the Guard and Reserve and the Ad Council.
Growing up on a farm out here, I just thought life was great. I had my own horse. I drove a tractor with my dad. For me, I thought farm life was the American dream. Hi, my name is Rex Phipps. That all changed when I was reminded how dangerous working on a farm can be. My cousin was almost killed in a terrible accident. I had to do something. I couldn't help my cousin, but I could help other people avoid this on their farms. So I volunteered at farm safety day camps for children of all ages, teaching kids about being safe around tractors, tools, and animals. Just like I found a need to fill in my community, your community needs you. Find out how you can help in your hometown. Get out and live. Volunteer.
Brought to you by the Hitachi Foundation's Yoshiyama Award for Exemplary Service to the Community and this station.
During the next 5 seconds, think about this. How do newborns learn?
Come on, smile for Daddy.
Clap
your hands.
That's right. With their parents, Mom and Dad. Affection and games are important to nurture a baby's self-esteem. But did you know that his developing brain needs even more? Now, if we could hear this baby's brainwave, it might sound like this. On the other hand, the brainwave of a baby who is read to, sung to, and talked to in full sentences would sound more like this. Big difference, isn't it? Scientists have proven that a baby's brain develops better when you read, sing, and speak with complete sentences, especially during the first year of life. So talk to your baby at bath time, read before bedtime, maybe even sing while you're changing diapers. An early start. Now that's smart. A message from El Valor McCormick Tribute Foundation and the Ad Council.
As the American military gets smaller, who will be there to protect us? Who will be there to help us recover from disasters? Who will be there to put their lives on the line for ours? With the support of their employers, the National Guard and Reserve will be there when we need them.
They make up half of our American military forces. And with the combat readiness training they receive throughout the year, the men and women of the Guard and Reserve will be prepared to support peacekeeping missions, as well as humanitarian relief efforts and rescue operations. As soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines, they'll be in a position to serve our country. As their employer, so will you. For more information on how you as an employer can help, contact your state committee via their website at esgr.org. That's ESGR.org. A public service message brought to you by the employer support of the Guard and Reserve and the Ad Council.
Growing up on a farm out here, I just thought life was great. I had my own horse. I drove a tractor with my dad. For me, I thought farm life was the American dream. Hi, my name is Rex Phipps. That all changed when I was reminded how dangerous working on a farm can be. My cousin was almost killed in a terrible accident. I had to do something. I couldn't help my cousin, but I could help other people avoid this on their farms. So I volunteered at farm safety day camps for children of all ages, teaching kids about being safe around tractors, tools, and animals. Just like I found a need to fill in my community, your community needs you. Find out how you can help in your hometown. Get out and live. Volunteer.
Brought to you by the Hitachi Foundation's Yoshiyama Award for Exemplary Service to the Community and this station.
Simple and easy to use program. Membership is just $99 per year and will cover your entire family. There are no forms to fill out and no waiting for reimbursement. Call MedAdvantage at 888-595-4217 and start saving now. Membership is available to everyone regardless of age or medical condition. In fact, we're so confident you'll be pleased with the MedAdvantage program, we're offering a full 100% money-back guarantee. Call MedAdvantage at 888-595-4217 and start saving now. Once again, call 888-595-4217. MedAdvantage, reducing the personal cost of health care.
MedAdvantage is not an insurance plan.
Okay, people, what do we have?
Doesn't look good. Patient is male, 28 years old, trying to get a loan for a new car.
They're checking his credit now.
What's the status?
Looks like he's got some credit problems.
Late payments?
Yes, doctor.
Too many credit cards?
Affirmative.
I've got 6 credit cards and rising. Make that 7.
I've seen this before. What's his credit score?
No response.
What?
He doesn't know, doctor.
Well, he went for a loan without knowing his credit score?
We're losing the loan.
Why didn't he use Score Power from Equifax?
Clear.
How many people do we have to lose?
How's your financial health? Find out with Score Power from Equifax. You'll get your credit report, credit score, and you'll learn how your credit decisions can affect your score. All for just $14.95. It's the first step toward healthy credit. So check out Score Power at Equifax.com or call 1-877-4-EQUIFAX. That's EQUIFAX. Equifax.
Doctor, come quick. There's a woman trying to buy a house without her credit score.
It's an epidemic. Run away.
Get the power. Score Power at Equifax.com.
Hi, this is Al Franken, the host of the Al Franken Show on Air America Radio. For the last 6 months, we've been doing 3 hours a day of cutting-edge radio programming. We've had guests like Bill Clinton, John Kerry, and Strom Thurmond.
The Pekka. It knows no bigotry.
We've covered events like the handover of power in Iraq. We've explained difficult concepts like the growing national debt using nothing more than an ordinary slide whistle. Now we're presenting our show in a convenient, easy-to-use, one-hour version every night on Sundance Channel. finally you'll be able to see what we're talking about. Right, Strom?
Yes, sir.
Tune in every night at 11:30 on Sundance Channel for the Al Franken Show. If you don't get Sundance Channel, go to their website, sundancechannel.com. Al and Sundance Channel, together again. Hi, this is Al Franken, and I care about who's elected president on November 2nd. And it's never been more important who we choose for the future of America. So listen up. Right now, the polls in the Buckeye State show a deadlock. And the fact of the matter is, it's all going to come down to the ground game and who wants it more. You know, Paul Wellstone used to say that the future belongs to those who are passionate and work hard. Well, the future is in your hands, and I'm asking you to be passionate and work hard by contributing your time and money to the Ohio Democratic Party. Go to ohiodems.org, ohiodems.org. That's not hard to remember, is it? ohiodems.org. You know, sometimes we tell ourselves to save money for a rainy day. This is it. This is that rainy day. We can't let these people take this country in the wrong direction for four more years. Do yourself, your children, your country a favor. Volunteer or write a check by going to ohiodems.org.
This ad is paid for by the Ohio Democratic Party, Dennis White Chair.
Are you losing your hair? Is that bald spot getting bigger? Is your hair looking thinner? Why aren't you using Avacor, the hair growth treatment that has helped thousands of people just like you regrow their hair?
I am 39 years old. I've been slowly balding over the last 10 years. Thanks to Avacor, my hair is coming back and I couldn't be more excited.
The best product that I've tried.
Avacor is the product of the 21st century.
If you're losing your hair and haven't tried Avacor yet, how about a free month supply? We're giving away a free month of Avacor with all of today's orders. Avacor is proven to successfully stop hair loss and regrow hair.
Call 800-662-8168 for your risk-free trial of Avacor. Call now, 800-662-8168. That's 800-662-8168. And remember, all of today's orders will receive an additional month's supply of Avacor absolutely free. Call 800-662-8168.
Past the hour, Mark Maron here with Mark Riley on Morning Sedition Radio.
You!
Air America Radio, Morning Sedition's the show, of course. Let's see if I can pull this off with my raspy voice. My therapist, of course, told me to write down my dreams, and last night I had that dream again where Halliburton bought Air America Radio. Oh, no. Oh, no. Good morning, neocons. This is Mark the Shark Maron with Right and Early, the conservative's way to wake up. It's 20 after the hour here on Radio Halliburton. Halliburton, what's a few billion between friends? Hey, liberals, get your greasy hands off Bill O'Reilly. Anytime someone speaks the truth, you hit him with a lawsuit. Can't a man be a man anymore? Oh, I'm being sexually harassed. Boo-hoo-hoo. You ruined my life. Boo-hoo-hoo. Give me $1 zillion. Hey, baby cakes. You want, what do you call harassment? I call it a good first date. Am I right? Am I right here, people? Go ahead, liberals. Try to sue Mark the Shark. I dare you. I got your countersuit right here. Yeah, take a little of that. And what about this election, huh? Four more years. And once again, the whiny liberals say, we're trying to steal votes. Let me tell you something. If people are so lazy, they've got to get their names taken off the voting rolls. They don't deserve to vote. You know what they deserve? Yeah, a little of that, huh? Smells like victory, baby. Let's take a call. You got Mark the Shark caller. Oh, what's the matter with you, you little fem-Nazi? I don't understand. The liberals say nothing. Hey, I didn't hear what you said, caller, because I wasn't listening. Thanks for calling anyways. But enough about you. Let's get back to me. It's 24 after the hour. Time for the neocon power weather forecast. The radar says it's 56 and partly cloudy. A good day to register a bunch of lazy welfare-taking Democrats to vote and then shove those forms in the shredder. Suckers. USA. 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 US. There's no place like home. There's no place like home. I woke up and my bed was filled with lychee nuts.
What does that even mean, Riley?
I'm not sure what all of that means, but I must say, Marcus Sharp seems to be taking on a life of his own over there.
I think he is. I think he is. And I just shot my voice out for the week to provide a little satire.
That's right.
So now we've got our vice president.
Doomsday Cheney.
The terrorist.
Yes.
Doing the terrorist bidding. Can we hear that sound, Chris?
We think now have to get our heads around the proposition that the biggest threat we face is the possibility of terrorists coming into the United States and smuggling in a deadlier weapon than has ever before been used against us, and maybe a biological agent or even a nuclear weapon. And that having something like that transpire in the midst of one of our cities obviously would threaten the lives of hundreds of thousands of Americans. And we've got to, I think, come to grips with that threat if we're going to devise a strategy that's robust enough to allow us to defeat it and guarantee that they're never able to get off that kind of an attack against the United States.
Now, he was speaking before an invitation-only crowd in Ohio, Republican strongholds, of course. He was getting ready to, in other words, it was a controlled audience. These are
a controlled audience of the frightened.
Yeah,
a controlled audience of, remember, be afraid. Devise a strategy. They've had 3 years. Devise a strategy. The audacity of this guy. Come on, man. Where's the money going? Where's the money? It's not going to our troops. Homeland Security is still, like, you know, battling over, like, you know, what to do with the money, the little money they have. We can't get, you know, we don't have a reasonable antidote to any biological weapons. You know, we don't have the flu vaccine. They've had 3 years to devise a strategy. And they've dropped the ball, and now all they can do is scare the hell out of us in order to maintain power. And the point that the fact that I have to sit here and entertain the idea that he's forecasting something that he already knows about in order to do whatever is necessary to keep his cabal in the game, the neocon death cult, is very disturbing and frightening to me.
Let's begin at the beginning, Mark.
Okay.
Why in the world is Dick Cheney talking about a terrorist threat ending up in the middle of one of our cities with deadlier weapons than they've ever had before? Let's assume they have to import this stuff. Well, let's talk about border security then. Let's talk about how in the world it would be as easy for these people to bring this stuff into this country as it was 3 years ago.
Port security? I mean, who the hell knows? We could have terror cells living in some of those freight lockers out there in Newark.
Well, you know, some people have argued that there are, in fact, already terror cells. Someone we talked to recently said that there are already terror cells in the country, and they are waiting to act, and that they do have the ability to access nuclear weapons or nuclear materials, even if they don't have them on in their possession right now.
Well, the dirty bomb is a very scary thing, and the Mexican border is very porous. A lot of people are coming up right through there. And you can basically get in anywhere. They haven't even put into place the computer that would identify people who are on a terrorist suspect list at all airport terminals.
Well,
you know
that Cheney is being, I think, disingenuous in bringing this sort of thing.
Disingenuous?
Disingenuous. Yeah, just a little.
Huh.
In trying to say, by bringing this up, that John Kerry has no plan to deal with this.
I mean, John Kerry, the guy who commanded a swift boat in the Vietnam War and actually shot a man in the name of our country. John Kerry, who led a platoon of people who has had wartime wartime experience, is not prepared to lead the country
as opposed to Dick Cheney, who said I had other priorities
five
when it came
times.
To going to Vietnam.
And, oh, yeah, my wife's pregnant.
Yeah.
Or the side to our president who's like, I flew a plane twice. I'm afraid to take my physical because I got blow in my blood, and I don't want to go to Vietnam. Lieutenant Governor Barnes, thank you.
Yes. We appreciate that. When we come back, author Peter McGuire joins us. We also have...
We hope. We're having some phone trouble.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to give it our best shot. Oh, the phones are back.
Okay,
there you go. We've also got a rock for Birth of a Nation and the War on Brains, all here on Air America Radio.
There was dirt, water, and air. And it was good. Once, Planet Check.
Approximately 95% of all of the printing and office paper available today has no recycled content whatsoever.
That's Susan Kinsella from Conservatory. Kinsella advises buying recycled and post-consumer content.
Post-consumer means materials that the public has used and then put into the recycling system.
It's important to look at where the fiber comes from.
The fibers are often coming from endangered forests. Even when they're coming from plantations, there's a lot of issues around that as well.
Plantations really are tree farms.
They're not true forests. forest. They need a lot of herbicides and pesticides in order to support them.
Making 100% recycled office paper reduces air pollutants by more than 90%. For a list of stores that sell recycled paper,
visit Conservatory's website at conservatory.org.
That's Planet Check.
Planet Check is possible thanks to Cliff Bar, the energy bar made with organic ingredients by a company committed to sustaining you and the planet. More at cliffbar.com.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. President Bush is facing yet another campaign headache. The Democrats say it's of his own choosing. It's the flu vaccine controversy. Bush says it was out of his control, citing a manufacturer's defect. But a medical news website reveals that British government officials were privy to the same information the U.S. had on an impending shortage and decided to do something about it while the U.S. was caught in a vulnerable spot. Tracking the momentum of the presidential race remains difficult at best in the final days before the election. From all indications, the race remains a dead heat, but John Kerry has taken a slight lead in four of the battleground states, according to the latest figures. It seems Bush is gaining support from an unlikely source. A black think tank says Bush is picking up 18% of the black vote. Organization says it's double the amount he received 4 years ago, but black supporters for John Kerry take issue with the findings, saying there will be an overwhelming turnout this year for the Democratic ticket. Wayne Gilman, Air America Radio News.
Snow is formed when water in clouds is exposed to frigid temperatures. The Infiniti G35's intelligent all-wheel drive gives you the traction you need. Sun turns snow to water. The G35 takes it in stride. Its all-wheel drive system varying the power between front and rear wheels as needed. Water evaporates, leaving dry ground. The G35's all-wheel drive shifts power to the rear wheels for responsive handling. The elements, as experienced by the Infiniti G35 sedan with intelligent all-wheel drive. The 2004 Infiniti G35 comes with a 260-horsepower V6, automatic transmission, and available intelligent all-wheel drive that changes with the weather for $33,690. See your Infiniti dealer for a test drive and an attractive lease deal of $359 a month for 42 months with an initial payment of $2,859. Or visit Infiniti.com.
Tax title and license extra. Call 1-800-862-0406 for lease details. Offer ends 11-104. MSRP for 2004 G35 automatic leather AWD model with sunroof includes $590 destination charge. Excludes tax. Title and licensing is the actual price.
If you want a flight with no stops, I suggest One Stop. Priceline.com, the one-stop site for all your airfare needs. Now you can choose your exact flights from our long list of low, low fares. Select round trip, one-ways, non-stops, whatever. Shop and compare prices, times, airlines from our easy-to-read list, or you can still name your own price and save even more. No one else gives you that choice. Priceline, the best choice in travel.
If you're tired of dealing with glasses or contacts but have been concerned about the price of LASIK, now you can get the best of both worlds. That's right. TLC Laser Eye Centers is offering no payments for 12 months. That means you can have exceptional LASIK, TLC's lifetime commitment, and skilled surgeons at a price you can manage from one of the leaders in laser vision correction. More than 500,000 eyes have trusted TLC for the LASIK procedure, including thousands of eye doctors and Tiger Woods.
After 5 years and more than 35 worldwide wins, I'm still as happy as ever with my TLC Laser Eye Center's experience. I'm 20/20 with no contacts.
Yeah, that Tiger Woods. To take advantage of this limited, no-payment-for-12-month offer, call TLC at 800-300-7509. Some restrictions may apply. In fact, call today for all the details. That's 800-300-7509. Do your promo.
Okay. Ready? Shh. Hi, it's Al Franken. On the next Al Franken Show, Bush and God. What exactly is the nature of their relationship? Do they actually know each other? Are they speaking regularly? Or is one of them dropping the other's name a little too often based on a very slender acquaintance? Journalist Ron Suskind will test the president's faith. Plus, William Longubisha will take us inside Baghdad's misnamed Green Zone on the next Al Franken Show.
Four past the hour, Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Hi.
You're listening to Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.
Wow. Wow. I just got some M&M's. Is that good for a cold? M&M's aren't good for a cold, are they? M&M's and tea with lemon? Is that good?
Melts in your mouth, not in your head.
Exactly. It's a weird cold, though, because Gelman's got the same one. Like, my head's clear. My sinuses are clear.
So are his. Yeah, it's only his voice.
Upper respiratory and throat.
Uh-oh.
Since the handover of power, we're exploring various issues and opportunities the Iraqis and Americans will face. This is Iraq, Birth of a Nation, Day 114. Leaders of Iraq. Leaders of Iraq. Yes, good morning. So I just read where local suppliers have jacked up the prices of lumber, gravel, and bricks as much as 10 times their actual worth. Hey, I'm not criticizing. You don't understand. That's fantastic. Well done. In legal terms, that's called profiteering, and that's one of America's all-time favorite verbs. You're finally starting to think like we think. Okay, all right, go ahead, gouge us. The American taxpayers are footing the bill anyway. When opportunity knocks, you got to answer the door. Make hay while the sun shines. Life is short. Look, I didn't mean that way, all right? But you know what I'm talking about. You might as well screw us now, because once the oil's gone, we're gone. And who knows? The way things are going, we may cut and run next year. All right. Of course, this will slow down the rebuilding of your country, but who cares? Take as long as you need. Borrow this phrase from the American contractors. Do you want it right, or do you want it right now? That always shuts them up. Well, not you. This is the part that makes war all worthwhile. This is the fun part. And the next time you sell an $8 ton of cement for $111, you can say, I did it for my country. But more importantly, you did it for yourself. Now that's democracy. So good luck and God bless. This is day 114 of Iraq, Birth of a Nation, Live Free or Die. I got you to go back on that one.
Yeah,
it's been a
you
long
did.
Time since you went back.
I know.
So before, should we set up this story before we bring on our guests? We were talking about the squadron who said, we're not going until you fix our cars, until you armor our Humvees. We're not escorting this fuel up into the north of Iraq.
This is the 343rd Quartermaster Company. It was about 18 soldiers in all, men and women, who refused to take those Humvees north. Now, they had been using those same unarmored Humvees to make trips in and around their base in the southern part
right,
of Iraq
right.
because it was relatively safe. No suicide bombers, no roadside mines, none of the kinds of insurgent attacks that many of the people going up and down this north-south road have been experiencing.
Right.
Then they were told to take this fuel shipment in these same unarmored trucks as escorts up north, which is where all the action is.
Right.
And they refuse to do it. Right now, we don't know exactly what the Army has in store for them.
Well, you know, we're going to talk to Peter McGuire in a second. And, like, apparently, we got an email from a guy when we talked about this. We got a couple of calls that were like, hey, if this were Normandy, they would be killed. You know what I mean? There's no excuse. So this is a different war. It's a guerrilla situation. This is a situation where we have an administration that does not arm the servicemen properly because of money, which should be crazy. We are the strongest, most powerful, richest country in the world. You would think the least they can do if they're going to send people in to kill people for no reason, you know, that they would arm them properly.
Yeah.
And clearly there's been a lot of, you know, this administration has really dropped the ball on that. And from the beginning of the war, now these Humvees were not armored properly. And they said, look, you know, this is a suicide mission for what? What we know we're going to take fire. There's no reason there's no reason that we shouldn't be armed properly. And apparently it happened in Vietnam. Here's a email from a listener. You were speaking about the unit in Iraq that refused to go on the convoy. I was in Vietnam, class of 71, and we started to have units refusing to go on patrol. Who wants to be the last one to die in Vietnam? The military wanted to keep that stuff quiet so as not to spread to units all over the country. Usually they would move out the squad to another or separate them to other units. Little disciplinary action was taken as command was afraid of strike. And apparently this wasn't unusual in Vietnam, which was a guerrilla warfare situation as well.
Yes.
And these people are not unpatriotic people. These people, like, this is how, you know, technology has really advanced the sort of the cause of getting truth out. You know, this woman called her mother, you know, and that made CNN, and they said, you know, you got to help us out here. And now it became, you know, it was elevated to the national consciousness, which
yeah.
wouldn't have happened in Vietnam.
No, it wouldn't have happened in Vietnam, although there were some instances of people disobeying orders that did come to prominence eventually in Vietnam,
sure.
but that was very deep into the war. What you're seeing now, again, as you point out, because of technology, things are happening faster, and the military is reacting differently. There would have been a time, Mark, where they would not have admitted that they actually had these kinds of problems and say, well, yeah, the trucks were not properly armored. The Army immediately copped to this.
Yeah, which is interesting. I just want to talk to Peter McGuire, who's the author of Law and War, an American story. His forthcoming book is called Facing Death in Cambodia. He's a professor who's taught at Bard College and Columbia University. He's my friend Phil's buddy. Good morning, Peter. How are you?
Good morning, Mark and Mark. Good to be back.
Yeah, thanks for being with us.
So is this an unusual situation? I mean, how do demoralized soldiers deal with, you know, unfair orders and commanders? How did that happen? How did that happen in Vietnam? What was the precedent for this?
Well, it got significantly worse in Vietnam, where you had the practice of fragging, which was junior officers shooting senior officers,
yeah,
who were sending them in situations over and over that they didn't want to go on. It wasn't a common practice. It didn't happen every day. But as the war dragged on in Vietnam, morale reached all-time lows within the military, and it's nowhere near there yet. But this is an ominous development. And really, the soldiers on the ground bear no responsibility. It's the Pentagon. And in my Newsday story today, I really point my finger at the Pentagon and say, you know, enough of blaming these poor reservists who really didn't sign up for this. They signed up for the military, and that's part of, that's part of the risk you run when you get the military to pay for your education. But nonetheless, sending reservists on missions they're ill-prepared for and ill-equipped for, I really don't blame them. I blame the Pentagon, and I think that a bright light needs to be shined into the Pentagon.
Well, let me ask you something else, because we have callers that, you know, this goes right into the schism between people who, like the people who support the Swift Boat Veterans for Truth versus the people that support, you know, people who spoke out against the war. Is there a place, like, it seems to me that a guerrilla war, like Vietnam, or like the war we're involved in now, cannot be compared in any way to World War II in terms of loyalty of the troops and patriotism?
No, that's an excellent point, and I'm glad you raised it. It's a ridiculous analogy, frankly. I mean, when you compare World War II, when we were fighting not only the Third Reich, but, you know, the Japanese as well, these are regular mechanized armies, particularly the Germans, one of the best armies that ever stepped on the 20th century battlefield, and that was a real war. This is an insurgency where basically all they have to do is survive. They don't have to win. And in the words of Rumsfeld, you know, a year or so ago, he said, we lack the, quote, metrics to tell if we're winning or this. Are we killing them at a greater rate that the insurgency is growing? And now we have really empirical proof that according to Rumsfeld's own metrics, we're losing. I mean, a year ago there were supposedly 5,000 insurgents. Now there's between 20 and 25,000. The trip that this 343rd Quartermaster Company was supposed to make was a 15-mile trip. It wasn't like they were going halfway across the country. Last week we got hit in the green zone. Five people were killed. That's supposedly the most secure part of the country. I mean, this is unraveling quickly. Why? Because we didn't have a realistic political objective. Anybody who knows anything about military theory from Clausewitz on knows that without a clear political objective, the military is basically wasted. We're hitting ourselves in the face. What's the political objective? Freedom in democracy in a nation that's never known it. I mean, this is infantile stuff.
It's incredible. Peter McGuire, it dawns on me that the 343rd Quartermaster Company was asked to make a run that apparently the United States government is trying to get the British to do. In other words, move from safe areas of the South into the North where things were a lot more problematic. And I'm wondering whether or not any of America's allies here are following what happened in the 343rd in terms of their own rank-and-file troops on the ground.
Well, the British military, which is among the great militaries of the world, they've gone about this very differently, and I think on some level they've had a little bit more success than we have. They're facing a lot of domestic strife as well right now, though, about their continued presence, as are the Poles. Everybody's feeling the heat. they were sold one bill of goods by, you know, Douglas Feith and Wolfowitz and the whole gang, that, you know, Ahmed Chalabi, our great ally, would step in and run the show, and it's just turned into a complete debacle. And we're kind of playing catch as catch can, and you know, again, there's no realistic political objective here. I mean, I speak to soldiers regularly. While they're patriotic and they want to put a good face on it, and they say, well, we're really taking them out in Fallujah and Najaf and this and that, I say, well, that's all good and fine, but what's the objective? What's the political goal? And they really can't tell me. And I, you know, as I said, they're trying to keep a stiff upper lip because they're facing their second and third deployments, and I really can't fault them. It's the leadership. I mean, they're doing a grave disservice to the American military, and it's important to note as well that the military, the professional soldiers, consistently raised objections, from Hugh Shelton to General Shinseki. They said, look, you know, this, we need more soldiers, we need a clear and realistic plan, and, you know, they got these kind of beatific response of freedom and democracy, and it's turned out to be anything but that. And the whole Chalabi debacle,
yeah,
that's something,
sure,
again, that needs a bright light shined into. And, you know, we're blaming the Abu Ghraib 7 as if these were the architects of our POW policy.
Well, this administration is very good at blaming everybody and not taking any responsibility for themselves. I sure appreciate you shedding some light on the situation, Peter. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Peter.
Okay, see you good.
Okay, take care. That was good, man.
Yeah.
I like that guy. We'll be back with the War on Brains in a second. It's 46 past the hour. It's Air America Radio.
Hi. Do you care about the environment and America's energy future? Now there's a new way you can take action. You can fight global warming and promote energy independence with Native Energy's Wind Builders program. You can offset the impact of your energy use, your home, your business, even your car, wherever you live, work, or learn. Sign up for Wind Builders and help build new wind farms that'll reduce global warming pollution. Join thousands of individuals and leading brands like Ben & Jerry's, Clif Bar, and Aveda, and favorite bands like REM and Dave Matthews Band, who are already fighting global warming with Native Energy. Join them and help build a new Native American wind farm for just pennies a day. Click the Native Energy button on AirAmericaRadio.com or call 800-924-6826. That's 800-924-6826, or click the Native Energy button on AirAmericaRadio.com. Help build a new Native American wind farm and fight global warming with Native Energy.
Don't let the recent news about your arthritis medicine stop you from treating your arthritis pain. Talk to your doctor. No pain reliever has been proven safer than Tylenol when used as directed. That's one reason why arthritis experts recommend the medicine in Tylenol Arthritis Pain Relief as a first choice. For all-day relief without a prescription, ask your doctor about Tylenol. Stop. Think. Tylenol.
Tylenol Arthritis Pain lasts up to 8 hours. Use as directed.
If you're looking to save big this year on a high-quality steel structure from Allied Steel, call 877-99-STEEL. You still have time to add that much-needed workshop, retail, or church space before winter arrives. And our most popular sizes are priced for quick delivery. Get a 40x60 structure for under $18,000 or a 50x100 for under $32,000. Whatever size you need, Allied Steel will answer all of your questions and explain why our structures are the best and most affordable option. Call Allied Steel at 877-99-STEEL.
Are you falling behind with your bills? Now there's a nonprofit organization that can help you avoid bankruptcy and get caught up again. It's called Debtscape. A Debtscape certified credit counselor can help reduce or even eliminate your interest rates. And they can consolidate your bills into just one monthly payment. If you have more than $2,000 in debt, call Debtscape now for a free debt consultation. Not available in all states. Call 1-800-330-3535. That's 1-800-330-3535.
Ray, it's your mother again.
Oh, boy.
Hi, Mom. This isn't about the presidential election.
No, Raymond. It's about the Bergen County freeholders.
Why do you care about freeholders?
Because I pay property taxes, that's why. Because your father and I scrimped and saved so you and your brother could have everything.
Ma, I've heard this before.
The Bergen County Democrats are doing a great job keeping county taxes down. They cut taxes again this year. They cut the payroll and spending. They got rid of all those silly perks, and they passed tough new ethics reforms, too. The Democratic freeholders are tightening their belts and making county government smaller and smarter. You know, dear, you could use a little belt tightening yourself.
Ma!
Well, you know it's true. In Bergen County, the Reform Democrats are the only team for taxpayers. That's why I'm voting to re-elect freeholder Jim Carroll, Tom Padilla, and Liz Calabrese. And you should, too.
A 4 by Victory 2004.
My name is Phil McKenzie. At age 45, I discovered mountain climbing. I loved the thrill, the danger. Then I discovered I had high blood pressure. My doctor told me point blank, no more climbing. Suddenly, I faced a new challenge. Lower my blood pressure, or the life I loved was over. Well, I met that challenge head on, and won, thanks to a pharmaceutical company named Novartis. A Novartis treatment reduced my blood pressure within weeks. It even passed my own personal test, climbing Alaska's Mount McKinley, all 20,000 feet.
Novartis is proud to be the innovative force that's bringing new hope and optimism to millions of patients and their families. Today, Phil McKenzie's managing his blood pressure and living the life he loves.
And you know what? The view was incredible.
Novartis. Think what's possible.
This credit moment is brought to you by FreeCreditReport.com. Consumers are advised to check their credit report on a regular basis. Staying on top of your credit can help save you thousands of dollars. Now you can check your credit report for free, instantly and online at FreeCreditReport.com. Log on to FreeCreditReport.com. See what's in your credit report and who put it there, so you can make sure everything's accurate. Stay on top of your credit at FreeCreditReport.com. That's FreeCreditReport.com.
Past the hour, it's Mark Maron on Morning's Edition with Mark Riley.
Good morning. We want to let our affiliates know that you are not now getting tone closures. We apologize for the inconvenience.
Yeah, that's all we got for you, though. I'm sorry. I don't know. I don't understand any of it. I just know there's a guy over there named Chris who works buttons.
Yes.
And it's much deeper than anything I could wrap my brain around.
You got any money?
Sure. How much you need?
Well, I mean, we should send the affiliate something.
Not coming out of my pocket. Talk to Doug Krieger.
Oh, okay.
Who, by the way, brought me a mug made by his son up there on Cape Cod.
Lovely, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm just.
I got one too.
It's a fine mug. It's serving its purpose. But I wonder if Krieger was up there at the pottery shop and said, "Hey, you got anything for the fellows on Morning's Edition?" And he went, "Oh, let me go to the box and back." I wonder.
Outback.
Yeah, I just wonder if I got the cutout or not. But thank you very much, Doug. And
you're not tasting any metallic stuff.
No, but it's like, I like the mug, but I'd really like some more money.
Oh, okay.
Mm-mm,
well,
mm-mm. I jest. That's not appropriate for me to talk around there. Anyways, in the studio right now is, of course, our friend, Mort Milfington, because every Wednesday we bring you the latest news from the front lines of the three-year global war being waged by the Bush administration. Here now is war correspondent Mark Milfington with today's dispatch from the War on Brains.
Thank you, Pine Sol Lady.
Oh, God.
Dateline, Washington, D.C., our nation's capital and former Mayor Marion Barry's Winter Wonderland, if you know what I mean. Winter Wonderland. A lot of powder. That's all I'm saying. October 20th. The George W. Bush caisson of stubborn pig ignorance continuing its moronic roll through the front lines of reason this week, this time heaving a destructive volley of bullcrap upon the most unholy of freedom-hating abominations. Yeah, you guessed it. I'm talking about the Grand Canyon. This seems, after carefully not considering confirmed geological evidence, the Bush administration has commanded from on high that a book claiming the Grand Canyon was created by Noah's flood be sold at places like, the Grand Canyon Museum, the Grand Canyon Bookstore, and every other national park and facility funded by our tax dollars. Shameful, ignominious, and outrageous enough to fill a taxpayer with rage, had he actually paid any within, let's say, the last 10 years or so. Gotta save those receipts. Written by Tom Vail, pseudonym Schmuck Schmuckolerson, The Grand Canyon, A Different View, has become all the rage among people who traditionally have never read more than the instructions on their Robert Tilton prayer sponges. I need a sponge right now. The popularity of this faith-based science is borne out by such recently released books like The American Bison, God's Throw Rug, Mount Shasta, Satan's Anus, and the well-received Yosemite and the Hebrew Banking Conspiracy. Though illegally sold to unsuspecting rubes on public land, National Park Service spokesperson Elaine Sevy and an official dancing monkey for the man said of this tedious tome, and I quote, "Now that it's become quite popular, we don't want to remove it." Really? Isn't that what Germany said about Mein Kampf? Isn't that what some L.A. cops said about Margot Kidder the night they found her sleeping in a pile of leaves behind somebody's house? Her genitals. Wake up, creationists. It's time you realized, as I did long ago, that Earth is nothing more than a cold, unfeeling rock who drove your father out of the house and ruined your dreams of becoming a dancer. So until next time, freedom fighters, read, write, and ridicule a park ranger. And that's today's dispatch from
the War on Rains.
You okay, Mort?
Yeah, I'm a bit razzled by the tone closure thing.
No, wasn't the Pine Sol lady a comedian?
Not the contemporary one. She's kind of rather large black woman.
What was her name? We know.
She was a comedian out of San Francisco, was still working a lot.
Hey, thank you, Mort.
You're very welcome.
Yeah, it's always good to see you.
Hey, when's that meat guy coming out?
Hey, pretty soon, man. I'm going to learn my lesson. Diane Amos.
Yes.
So isn't that weird?
Yeah, right? Well, the Milster knew.
Yeah, of course. Milster knows everything. The Milster. Now he's been nicknamed.
Yeah, right? We got a name for him.
the Milster.
Now, do you think it's possible, Mark Maron? Because I don't.
Yeah.
And I'm African-American.
Mm.
Or black.
Mm-hmm.
Vernacular.
Hey.
Could blacks support George Bush to the tune of 18%, to the tune of 10% more than the black community did back in 2000?
I've known you to have a name for such black people.
Maybe not all... Uncle Tom? Is that name? Is that the one?
That's the one,
or
I heard you use occasionally.
Should I just call them Larry Elders?
Oh! Elders is going down.
That's an unkind cut. Apparently, a study that was released by the Joint Center for Political and Economic Studies, and this is a very, very credible organization. I've worked with them. I've interviewed their people on numerous occasions. They now say that 18% are willing to vote for Bush. The matchup is 69-18 carry for Bush. And, of course, in 2000, Bush only got 8%. Al Gore carried in, over 90% of the black vote.
Well, philosophically, what would be an African-American's, reason for voting for George Bush?
Same-sex marriages apparently is part of the issue here. What's happening now is that there are some African-Americans who hold conservative positions on some of these issues. For example, 39% of non-black respondents oppose marriage and civil unions for gays. Half the black respondents do.
But Kerry doesn't support it either, really.
No, he doesn't. But the perception is that Bush is stronger on that.
Right.
And, of course, Bush supports the constitutional amendment on that. Bush has a 22% approval rating among blacks surveyed, while 67% rated him unfavorably. Kerry's approval rating, 78%. Al Gore in 2000 got an 86% approval rating. Now, the person that put this poll together, who's a guy I know, a guy by the name of David Basaitis, says that he doesn't think Bush will get 18%, but he will increase his numbers. Now, I think that's a combination of gay marriage and, most importantly, that faith-based initiative money.
And fear.
And fear. Mm. In the next hour of Morning Sedition, who says the military only backs G.W. Bush? We'll talk to a retired general who's backing John Kerry. Also, the Presidential Daily Briefing, the Liberal Agenda, plus the author of Fast Food Nation warns us off meat when we continue here on Air America Radio.
A pop quiz for parents with third grade teacher, Mr. Bonner.
Today's quiz will test your general knowledge. 1. Name one Hollywood director. 2. Name one actor from a TV sitcom. Number 3. Name one comedian. 4. Name one game show host. 5. Name one professional athlete. Number 6. Name one reality TV show. And one more question worth 100 points. Name one teacher you've met visiting your kid's school.
Know what really matters. Know about your kid's school. And know about your kid. Find out 100 ways to know more, do more. Visit PTA.org or call 800-307-4-PTA. A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA.
Uncensored.
Uncensored.
Uncut.
Uncut.
Satellite Fresh.
Satellite Fresh.
Serious. It's on.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. Incompetence is a word frequently tagged on President Bush on a variety of issues in the final days of the campaign by the Democrats, but it seems to be used with greater emphasis now with the latest crisis to hit the nation, a flu vaccine shortage. John Kerry and running mate John Edwards are wasting no time pointing out to the American people another administration vulnerability. They charge that the president had a chance to protect the American people, particularly older Americans, and again did nothing about it. Kerry's comments yesterday on the issue during a radio interview is being supported by evidence from the medical website this morning, medicalnews.com, showing how Great Britain was made aware of the same impending shortage over the summer but did something about it to protect their citizens. Bush has been trying to reassure Americans that help is on its way and that the problem was beyond his control. At the same time, it's reported that there appears to be no shortage for elected officials and others within government in Washington, D.C., insofar as getting shots. During recent campaign stops in the debates, President Bush has repeatedly referred to how holding his job is extremely hard work. Bush has been trying to convey to the American people how stressful his job has been. John Kerry yesterday told supporters that if he can't stand the heat, then leave.
We know how to create jobs in this country, but you got to work at it. I mean, I keep hearing the president in that debate saying, it's hard work, it's hard work, it's hard work. Well, Mr. President, I'm very happy to relieve you of the hard work.
John Kerry in a campaign stump yesterday with 2 weeks before the election. U.S. officials are taking a sober view of a recent pledge of loyalty to Osama bin Laden by Abu Musab al-Zarqawi, the most wanted terror leader in Iraq. Some consider his pledge over the weekend to be an effort to elevate his status and improve his resources in fundraising. Others view it as an attempt to broaden his audience and improve recruitment. While U.S. authorities try to sort out just how close al-Zarqawi is to bin Laden, many agree that al-Zarqawi's motives are worrisome. It is certainly not a positive development, but in terms of what it means in practical terms, it isn't clear at this point, said a U.S. counterterrorism official speaking on condition of anonymity. U.S. Army Reservist Staff Sergeant Ivan Chip Fedrick pleaded guilty today to 5 charges of abusing Iraqi detainees at Abu Ghraib prison as a 2-day court-martial opened at a U.S. base in Baghdad. Fedrick, 38, of Buckingham, Virginia, admitted to allegations of conspiracy, dereliction of duty, maltreatment of detainees, assault, and committing an indecent act. He was expected to be sentenced tomorrow. Fedrick, a military policeman and a corrections officer in civilian life, is the highest-ranking soldier charged in connection with the Abu Ghraib prison scandal, which broke in April with the worldwide publication of photos and videos showing American soldiers abusing and humiliating naked Iraqi detainees. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
There's this type of breakdown.
Great, George. Now what do we do?
Which can lead to this kind of breakdown. And then there's serious Monday Night Breakdown. Leading into the big game, Mike and Larry get you pumped up and primed with a complete analysis and highlights for the night's game. The Monday Night Breakdown, 8 p.m. Eastern, on Sirius Sports Action 123.
Hey, this is Dave Ramsey, and this is your Daily Money Makeover. Denise wants to refinance her home and get a little extra. What should she do? Find out next.
Federal college loan rates are now at their lowest levels in history. So if you currently have high-interest student loans, it's time to refinance. Just call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. With one call, you could be on your way to saving thousands. That's 1-800-2-COLLEGE.
Denise wants to borrow money to help fix up some things around the house.
We have a home that we've only been in about 4 years. We financed $63,000. We're down to about $60,000. We wanted to take advantage of the lower interest rate and get the money to do some repairs.
In the last generation, our culture has said, if I have a problem, I solve it with debt. Boom. And I want to get people to quit thinking that way. If I have a problem, I solve it with money. If it's a money problem. If the car breaks, it's not, where can I borrow the money? If the car breaks, it's where can I get the money? Can I work an extra job? Can I sell something, have a garage sale? And to get in the mindset that we're going to be, you know, in really good shape so that when we need to do something like that, we're able to just do it with cash. If you're not there today, obviously it's going to take a little time. But again, we're in a go-go microwave culture versus a crock pot. And I'm always going to send you back to the crock pot. It tastes better there.
This has been your Daily Money Makeover with best-selling author and America's most trusted source for financial straight talk, Dave Ramsey.
Stuart, how are those hedges coming, little man?
Good.
Sorry, you're not little. You're 5. And you're holding a 10-horsepower gas hedge trimmer. I should watch myself, huh? So, fire her up and show those hedges who they're messing with.
But I could get hurt.
Don't focus on the negative. Come on, go get him, killer. Ah, that's the battle cry of a lawn warrior. Now, steady the blade. Where are those hedges?
Dad, please.
Think of the trimmer as an extension of your arm. Come on, keep that arm away from...
The cat.
The cat. Oh, and the neighbor's new car.
You wouldn't treat your child like an adult. So why put them in adult seatbelts? If they're under 4'9", they need a booster seat.
Dad, make it stop!
Come back here. You can do the neighbor's drugs after you finish ours.
For more information, go to boosterseat.gov. This message brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Department of Transportation.
I'm Mark Maron. It's 6 past the hour here on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition.
That's it. Good morning, geniuses, philosopher kings and queens, working class heroes, progressive utopians with no sense of humor and strange diets. Good morning, agoraphobic blog addicts. Welcome. You're all welcome here under the big umbrella because we're taping a show. Finally, Sundance is coming down, and this is Al Franken, Dead Air, and there actually is a film crew in here, but they're not taping the Al Franken show, they're taping the Morning Sedition show, first show that you've never
seen.
Are you sure? No, it's some sort of in-house, sort of like, hey, look, buy these guys kind of video, right? Is that the deal?
She's no, man.
No, come on, man. I'm no dummy. I've been around cameras before. I asked if they were taping this one, and she was like, no, this one we're just looking at camera angles. Mm-hmm.
Oh, so...
And she's holding a book.
Oh, no, she's got an empty tape there.
That's the oldest trick in the book. No, I'm not taping. That's how documentary...
No, that's
how documentarians work. No, it's...
No, that's how porno movie directors work.
Oh, really? Yeah, wait a minute.
Show you the tape, but they got another one inside.
I'm not at all prepared for any of that kind of business.
Okay,
you know.
Just checking.
So this weekend, I will be at the Gotham Comedy Club in New York City. That's October 29th. That's this weekend. October, what is this weekend?
21st, 22nd, maybe?
Yeah, 22nd.
Yeah,
I'll be there Friday and Saturday night, 2 shows. It's going to be me and several other people. It's not like a big headlining Mark Maron is the main guy kind of show. It's just a showcase room, and I'll be doing my... my little bit of time there, 15, 20 minutes of whatever it is I do. If you listen to this show, God knows you know enough about me. But I will nonetheless make you laugh in a more confined area with a smaller amount of time.
You bringing the cats?
Oh, yeah, I bring the cats to my comedy club. I can't get there.
Now that they bonded with you.
I'll go there. I haven't talked about the cats because I was starting to be afraid that I was some sort of self-indulgent pansy man, some man diva, always talking about his cats that he's brought in. But the orange cat, the one male cat out of the 4 stray cats that I have, now sits on my lap, purrs, and licks my hand. We're buddies.
The other three, the bitches, if I might, will not come around. And I'm not saying bitch in a bad way. These are animals.
Yes.
Look, I don't want to get those weird emails.
That's supposed to be a female dog.
I don't know what they call female cats. I named one of them Meanie. And that one is, they're just not coming around unless, they're very selective about when they let me touch them, and I'm trying to be more open and talk to them, and listen, now I'm
yeah, like, but when they get a case of the munchies, they're right there, aren't
I'm disappointing
they?
Myself. I just crossed a line where I'm like, I don't know why the cats don't like me. I did this great thing for them, and I talked to them, but they just don't like me still. And I'm about to let them into the rest of the house, but I can't trust them not to pee on my bed. That's not how I want to wake up. Do you understand?
I could imagine.
Anyways. So the cats are going good. We've got some new endorsements. Is there anything else that I need to tell you guys? Oh, yeah. If you find anybody tampering with your vote in any way, either registration, because I had a trouble myself. I called, I ordered an absentee ballot from Los Angeles a month ago in September. They said they sent it on the 8th. I said I didn't get it. They said, asked me my address. I told them my address. They said, oh, we didn't have your apartment number. I gave them a new apartment number, and they sent it to my address in Los Angeles. So I
that sounds logical.
It's crazy. And I'm not saying it's on purpose, or that, but there is chaos there, and there is ne'er-do-wells out there sabotaging, many of the, registration drives and sabotaging some of the polling. So if you have any suspicion of this type of stuff, and don't go crazy, be reasonable. Don't call these people saying, there's someone in my house who's not letting me vote, because they can't address those problems.
I can't help you there.
866 our vote. This person will not let me out to do anything. Please help me. He says I can't vote and I can't have food. That is a police problem. You might want to call the police.
Yes.
866 our vote is that number. There are lawyers on hand to help you. Endorsements, Mark Riley. Dig this.
A few.
But look at this. I mean, Kerry's getting a lot of quality endorsements. I mean, he really is. Like, we've got, there's a huge list. Hold on a minute. I'll just go with the list as opposed to the reasons. 53 newspapers total, 9,223,340,000 daily circulation. In Arizona, the Arizona Daily Star. In California, the San Francisco Chronicle, the Sacramento Bee, the San Jose Mercury News, the Fresno Bee, the Press Democrat. In Santa Rosa, the Modesto Bee, the Merced. Is that Merced?
Merced.
Sunstar. Colorado, the Daily Camera. In Connecticut, the Day. In Florida, St. Petersburg Times, Miami Herald, the South Florida Sun Sentinel, the Palm Beach Post, Daytona Beach News, Florida Today, the Bradenton, thank you, Mark Riley, Herald, Georgia, the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, Illinois, Daily Herald, Iowa, the Hawkeye, Kentucky, the Courier Journal, and the Lexington Herald Leader. In Maine, in Massachusetts, Michigan, Minnesota, magazines are now endorsing Kerry. I mean, as I've announced here before, Bicycling Magazine endorses Kerry. Quote, while we were certainly encouraged that both candidates are cycling enthusiasts, we endorse Senator Kerry, who has proven his ability to remain upright, unlike President Bush, whose complete ineptitude on two wheels is an apt metaphor for his multiple domestic and foreign policy disasters. Cat Fancy, as we were talking about cats,
yes,
endorses Kerry. Quote, we feel that Bush's policy are anti-Persian and indeed derogatory to Middle Eastern cats in general. We endorse John Kerry for his world-inclusive policies and would gladly lie on his chest and lick his nostrils at 5 in the morning.
Uh-huh.
Aww, isn't that nice? Psychology, oddly, Highlights magazine comes out for Bush.
No, I don't understand that because my daughter reads Highlight Magazine.
Well, here, I'll give him the quote. We feel that anyone who puts reading the pet goat ahead of national security deserves our endorsement. Plus, he loves games and giggles and vacations. Three important priorities for our readers. His pro-nap anti-boring credentials are impeccable. And finally, he has demonstrated time and again that pictures are more important than words.
Yes.
Yes, that's right, Mark Riley.
Well,
so
there goes my
on?
Subscription to Highlights, I'll tell you that.
What's
right
going
now.
What's going on in your world, buddy?
In my world, Ricardo Sanchez, you may remember him.
Yes.
He's one of the people who...
the general.
...took a little bit of blame for Abu Ghraib. Well, he's speaking out, and he has said that the Pentagon, this is going back to last winter, was shorting his troops in Iraq. In fact, that his supply situation was so bad that it threatened the troops' ability to fight. Now, this document has just now surfaced from Army Lieutenant General Ricardo S. Sanchez.
And I'm wondering now whether or not, now, by the way, he was the senior commander on the ground in Iraq from the summer of 2003 through the summer of 2004.
We thought he was going to go down during the Abu Ghraib thing.
I'm wondering if this wasn't his bag.
Maybe.
Say, hey, you know what? If you're going, if you're going to put me down, let me, release some information about you that'll make it more difficult for you to put me down.
And this supports everything we've been talking about. There have been shortages of equipment since the beginning. And certainly with that squadron, dissenting or more so, saying, look, we're more than willing to do our job, but, equip us properly to do it. This has been an ongoing theme of this war.
Well, it's been an ongoing theme with the 343rd Quartermaster Company. It's an ongoing theme at Camp Lejeune in Fort Bragg where they don't have enough flu vaccine. And what Sanchez, in fact, said, now this is one of those little things that people don't always pay close attention to. It was taking 40 days for spare parts to get over to his units on the ground in Iraq. 40 days. That's three times the Army's average. And in some cases, 40% of critical parts were at zero balance, which means essentially they didn't have any.
Yeah.
So how are you going to make this equipment work when you have absolutely no spare parts?
I just don't know how, people who believe in Bush and believe that this war is right, already crazy, both counts, can continue to believe in him knowing that the administration does not fund or serve the troops properly. I mean, it's clear time and time again.
Well, when Ricardo Sanchez, the man on the ground who was on the ground at the time in Iraq, says, quote, I cannot sustain readiness without army level intervention, which has yet to take place.
Right.
Then, I mean, what are we talking about here? How can you say that this administration supports the troops when the guy in charge of the troops is saying something very different?
Right.
It's insane.
Yeah, well, they'll just figure out a way to disperse the blame elsewhere.
I didn't do it. It was the British company that did it.
Yeah, the British, just like they blame for the flu vaccine. And also, I've got an endorsement I didn't read, which is, very telling. Outside of the terrorists endorsing Bush, I got someone else endorsing Bush, and I'll give that to you in a second. It's 15 past the hour on Air America Radio.
You can burn a few calories with this brain teaser from Cortislim. What do Stamford, Connecticut, Burbank, California, and the Cortislim lifestyle have in common? Here to tell us is Dr. Greg.
Well, the connection is that those cities each have a population of over 100,000 people. So, hypothetically, you might say that the entire population of, say, Abilene, Texas, not only ordered Cortislim one time, but ordered Cortislim again. And that doesn't surprise us at all, because over 100,000 reorders tells you that the Cortislim lifestyle, and that's managing everyday stress to create positive change, including your weight, along with proper diet, exercise, and Cortislim, well, it's working.
So when you hear that the number of customers who've reordered Cortislim is roughly equal to the entire population of Green Bay, ask yourself, wouldn't you be more comfortable stepping off the scale and into the Cortislim lifestyle this holiday season? It's as easy as calling 800-921-BURN, and you'll get $20 off two bottles of Cortislim. Call 800-921-BURN. That's 800-921-BURN.
If you care about health, you need to know about the benefits of balancing your fat intake. I'm Barb Harris with Smart Balance Buttery Spread. Scientists spent years searching for the ideal balance of dietary fats, avoiding cholesterol, hydrogenation, and trans fatty acids. Smart Balance uses patented blend of vegetable oils to make a delicious and healthy alternative to butter and margarine with award-winning taste. Smart Balance, you're really going to love it.
In November 2000, 34 million women who were eligible did not register or vote. This November, make your voice count.
Stand up, you can be heard. Send a message, spread the word. Mothers, sisters, it's your turn. Stand up, stand up. Vote for hope, vote for change. Vote to turn a brand new page. Vote for peace, change the stage.
This message was brought to you by StandUpAndVote.org.
By now you've heard that Canadian prescription drug prices are up to 85% less expensive than they are in the U.S. Marge Burns heard and ordered her Zocor and saved $60 on a 90-day supply. Charlie Sumner heard and saved $35 on his Lipitor. If you are buying any prescription medication, it's time to call Advocare at 1-888-471-4721. AARP Magazine ranked Advocare one of the top pharmacies in Canada. In fact, the state government of Illinois has visited AdvoCare's facility and concluded that their procedures are exceeding the United States government's requirements. And now you too can save by calling AdvoCare at 1-888-471-4721 or visit their website at pharmacyonthenet.com. Your medications are delivered right to your door and you save up to 85%. It's so easy and the money you will save is incredible. Don't pay higher prices just because you live in the U.S. Call 1-888-471-4721 or log on to pharmacyonthenet.com.
Did you know that you could donate your old car, no matter what condition it's in, to a wonderful charity that will give you up to 50% of the car's value in cash and also get the maximum tax deduction? That's right. Kids in Need will take your car no matter what condition it's in. Proceeds from these vehicles will be used to distribute a phonics reading program for underprivileged kids. There's no better gift for a child than the gift of learning to read. And for a limited time, while supplies last, Kids in Need will also give a $1,000 gift certificate to everyone who donates a car. So you can donate your car to charity, receive up to 50% of the value in cash, receive a tax deduction, and get a $1,000 gift certificate. Call Kids in Need now at 1-888-HUG-KIDS. That's 1-888-HUG-KIDS. And at the same time, you'll be giving the gift of reading to kids in need. What a fantastic way to get great value out of your old car, no matter what condition it's in. Call 1-888-HUG-KIDS now. Free pickup and towing. Call 1-888-HUG-KIDS.
I was the biggest skeptic ever. I checked Eddie Harmley within 2 weeks. I met Amy.
When I met Greg, he exceeded my greatest expectations.
I just knew I was going to fall in love with her right away.
For the first time, I felt like I may have met the person I was going to spend the rest of my life with.
She is this constant reinforcement of who I am and what makes me good and what makes me strong. And just to know that you're completely loved, completely trusted is wonderful.
Looking deeper into what a person is really about was why I chose eHarmony.
Hi, I'm Dr. Neil Clark Warren, founder of eHarmony.com. There's a reason these two soulmates found each other. At eHarmony.com, we match them based on 29 dimensions of compatibility. That's why they have such a deep level of joy and connectedness. And we'd sure like to do that for you. So log on to eHarmony.com and get your free personality profile. Let's get started finding your soulmate today.
That's one of the greatest guitar riffs ever. That's the beginning of Coming Around the Bend, Up Around the Bend, Green is Clear. Yeah, I love that. It's 20 past the hour. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Good morning.
Dan Pashman just came in. Dan Pashman, son of Lewis and Linda Pashman, threw something in my notebook. We used to be friends. There seems to be a rift over this Beatles Brian Wilson issue, this problem he has in assuming that Brian Wilson is somehow transcendent to the Beatles because of...
No, not transcendent, better than.
Yeah, well, okay. But Brian Wilson did two albums that he was lucky enough to be psychotic for and delivered some flash of brilliance. But the Beatles, over the long term, even Led Zeppelin is better than Brian Wilson. That's what I say. And then Pashman's like, I'm just going to go sit at home in the dark and cry and listen to Pet Sounds. And I said, isn't that how everyone listens to Pet Sounds? Isn't that the way?
You're misquoting me, damn it.
No, I'm not, dude. I said that we have a problem, and I said, quote yourself then.
What I'm saying is that if you want to look at whole career, Beatles are better than the Beach Boys, but I'm talking peak flash of brilliance. The highest, greatest moment in Beach Boys history beats the highest, greatest moment in Beatles history.
I got two words for you.
Yeah.
Hey Jude, get out of the place. Get out of here.
Does that mean
hey
Surfer Jude. Girl? Hey,
I can name 10 Beatles songs better than that.
Well, see, this is an opinion.
Name 10 Beach Boys songs better than that.
Where you're wrong, Pashman. And you're not liking hot sauce ass. Where you're wrong is that essentially, why don't you go home and listen to Pet Sounds in the Dark crying?
I will.
Just go do it.
I'll do just that.
Yeah, and watch some sports while you're at it. You contradict.
No, you know what he'll do? He'll listen to Bruce afterward to try and uplift himself. It won't work.
He's an enigma.
He's an enigma.
He likes sports, Bruce Springsteen, and Pet Sounds, but doesn't like hot sauce. Pashman is he sexually confused?
I don't know.
Or that. Just confused? You think?
Oh, wow, that's wrong.
Okay. Yeah, without Pashman, my mouth wouldn't be working right now.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm sorry, Dan. I didn't mean you're not.
No, he's not. Low.
That's a low blow.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. It's not
you're
you.
You're fighting like a Republican again.
Yeah. No. It's not you. I think your future son's going to be gay. That's all I'm saying.
All right.
And there's no problem with gay. There's nothing wrong with gay. I just think you should come up and just say this conflict, because it's not even a sexual identity conflict. What it is part of you is New Jersey. The other part of you aspires to be sort of, kind of disenfranchised, spoiled bourgeois hipster. You know, you've got those two things working in your psyche, and I have them too. And there's nothing wrong with that. The only thing that's wrong is your assumption that Brian Wilson is in any way better than the Beatles.
All right, well, when my son is sexually confused, I'll send him to you for counseling.
Oh,
and I'll give him some Rolling Stones records and maybe a Zeppelin
well,
record.
Well, then Death Man is
gay. Oh, how is that possible? How is that possible? He will end up with a healthy sexual, he won't be afraid of his feminine side, and he might play guitar and smoke a little reefer.
All right, well, that second part's okay.
Yeah. What do you think he's going to name his son?
Dan?
Yuri Pashman? Son of Dan and...
His brother is Howie.
LaQuisha Pashman?
Howie and Dan Pashman.
Howie and Dan Pashman?
Well, I think I'll just name his son Jew.
Oh,
Jew.
Oh,
see,
there you go.
I'm sorry, buddy.
Are you okay?
Yahtzee.
Yeah.
Dan Pashman, definitely a real man, and a man in a very deep and all-embracing way.
Now you're trying to rebuild his heterosexuality? Is that what you're trying to do?
No, because there's a lot of gay guys that are much more manly than you and I, my friend.
Well, I've always known that.
Yeah. And I'm a little scared of them in a kind of a girly way. Anyways, here we go. Presidential Palm Pilot was delivered to us early. We got a documentary crew. Maybe I should do it like this. It's Al Franken. We're on Sundance. Here's the... Presidential Palm Pilot. I can't do it with my nose. All right, 7:30 a.m. Wake up. Stay on message. Must outscare Kerry. Must not have fear gap. 8 a.m. Leave for Iowa. Pledge to hunt down and kill seed rot and corn leaf blight. 10 a.m. Speak at rally, Mason City, Iowa. John Kerry wants the United Nations to control your Social Security and your guns and your children's guns. 12:10 p.m. Speak at rally, Rochester Aviation Hangar, Rochester, Minnesota. Note, resist temptation to wear flight suit or make joke about Rochester's fine work with Jack Benny.
Oh, see?
Mike Bush would even know that. 3:05 p.m. Focus on Rural America event. Eau Claire, Wisconsin. Note, tell them John Kerry wants to flood the market with illegal immigrant cheese from France. 8 p.m. back in Washington. Assure Americans that my plan for providing flu vaccines is just as comprehensive as my plan for democracy in Iraq.
Uh-oh.
9 p.m. Call Cheney, praise him for hitting the fear angle, but warn him that after you mention nukes, your only card left is Armageddon. 10 p.m. That just remember something. Remind me to remember that again. 10 p.m. 10 p.m. Bedtime. Think happy thought. In just 4 weeks, I can unleash the October surprise. Here I am accusing Dan Pashman. I mean, okay, listen, the sexual identity was out. It was out of line. Because I was singing along to a Soft Cell song yesterday. Okay, I was singing along to Tainted Love. On my Sirius net, well, I got the Sirius box, and I put it on, like, old alternative.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm sitting around singing,
Tainted Love.
But if I'm singing along to that, and I'm questioning Dan Pashman's sexual identity, I ought to turn that camera on myself.
Are you trying to say that Soft Cell was, like, of particular interest to the gay community? Is that what you're saying?
I think it was a pretty popular gay dance song in the 80s. At least when I went to gay bars, it was.
Mr. Mark, metrosexual marriage.
Oh, look, I read the book, dude. Don't you start to... I read the Riley book.
Well, oh, yeah. Well, hey, man, I make no apologies for hanging with who I hung with.
Yeah, I got no apologies either. I was a thespian. And, we used to go to the 1270, which was a gay bar in Boston.
In Boston, yeah.
They had all the great songs. I mean, if you went to a gay club, at least you had, you wanted to dance and have some fun with a bunch of people, that you'd always have a good time.
There used to be a place on Lansdowne Street, too. What was that?
Don't try and corner me in some way. I didn't go to all the gay bars.
But you went to 1 or 20.
No, we used to go down there, me and the gang, the acting gang.
Oh, the acting gang. Yeah, okay. What were you like?
See, I have two lives too, man. I have my rock and roll self, and then I have the other self.
Okay, the I want to dance free self.
Exactly, man. The guy that dances a little like this. But I don't,
Like Tony Siragusa in that commercial where everybody drops.
Yeah, I've seen that. Yeah. I don't even know what that is.
No, but I... you know, I used to go to a plethora of gay clubs.
Of course, because it was, you know, they actually
They had the sound systems,
and they know how to have a good time. This is why the regular married people are so pissed off that the gay people are going to get married. It's like, you know, no, leave us to our misery. You know, you guys are, they resent gay people because they see gay people as having much too much fun.
Yeah.
And they're afraid.
For an oppressed minority.
They're afraid they'll show them up and actually have fun being married as well. Is that possible?
Hey, wait a minute. How come you get to eat in a good restaurant?
Wait, are we supposed to be doing something?
Oh, no. Uh-oh. We are supposed to be.
No, we're not. Yeah, we'll
back
do it
to
later.
The weighty issue.
Oh, the Bush endorsement. The Bush endorsement.
Oh, from the Iranians.
Yeah. Oh, you tipped it. But we're going to do it again in a minute. I'll do the whole thing. And I guess General Claudia Kennedy might not make it. We're having technical problems. We'll see. But I will read the Bush endorsement after this. Riley, what else do we have?
Well, our apologies to our affiliates who aren't getting their tone closures. However, we've still got the Presidential Daily Briefing, Eric Schlosser's War on Meat, and the Liberal Agenda when we come back here on Air America Radio.
Why is House Majority Leader Tom DeLay still in power? The former exterminator has gotten into more trouble than a kitchen full of roaches. He's now been slapped 3 times by the House Ethics Committee and faced an IRS complaint and a racketeering suit. But that's not all. According to Mother Jones, 3 sets of state and federal investigators may finally be closing in on DeLay. First, there's Texas, where DeLay fundraisers have been charged with felonies for possibly laundering money for a group he founded and helped run. Prosecutors haven't ruled out charging DeLay. Then there's Louisiana, where lobbyists flaunting their ties with DeLay built $32 million out of an 800-member Native American tribe. Grand jury subpoenas in the case are flying around like confetti. Even Imelda Marcos has gotten one. The Senate is also investigating the scandal, and DeLay, a.k.a. the Hammer, is facing yet another House ethics count. House Republicans are used to having lightning rods as leaders, but are they really crazy enough to stand by this man? It looks like only a felony charge will finally get them to nail the hammer. This has been a Mother Jones Minute.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. The leadership of the international charity organization CARE decided to pull the plug in Iraq after one of its key officials was kidnapped yesterday. No additional word on her fate. The victim, Margaret Hassan, is married to an Iraqi national, lived in the country for over 25 years. John Kerry is gaining slight ground in the latest polls in 4 key battleground states. This was just under 2 weeks before the election. One survey says he's picking up support from moderate Republicans over the issue of stem cell research. It seems Bush is gaining support from an unlikely source. A black think tank says Bush is picking up 18% of the black vote. The organization says it's double the amount he received 4 years ago. The black supporters for John Kerry take issue with the findings, saying there will be an overwhelming turnout this year for the Democratic ticket. And there's word this morning that Fox Television was prepared to pay off talk show host Bill O'Reilly's accuser $2 million to make the complaint of sexual harassment go away. Wayne Gilman, Air America Radio News.
1 pound, you got it. Los poblanos, están ahí. How can I help you, man? Thank you.
This is the sound of a small business hard at work in New York City. A business that is powered by Business Smart from HSBC Bank.
$9 a pound.
Business Smart from HSBC is a different kind of business banking. It's an energy source for small business. A source of ideas.
What time do you get?
A source of smarts. With Business Smart, you get free business checking with 300 monthly transactions.
Thank you.
No minimum balance requirement, free online bill pay, a dedicated 24/7 service line, and more.
Baker's dozen, everything on.
What is Business Smart from HSBC?
Milk and sugar.
A source of power for your small business. Stop in any HSBC branch or call 877-HSBC-BIZ.
Thank you.
HSBC, the world's local bank. HSBC Bank USA, National Association member FDIC.
Thank you. Please come again.
Hi, this is Al Franken. I care about who's elected president on November 2nd, and it's never been more important who we choose for the future of America. So listen up. Right now, the polls in the Buckeye State show a deadlock, and the fact of the matter is, it's all going to come down to the ground game and who wants it more. You know, Paul Wellstone used to say that the future belongs to those who are passionate and work hard. Well, the future is in your hands, and I'm asking you to be passionate and work hard by contributing your time and money to the Ohio Democratic Party. Go to ohiodems.org, ohiodems.org. That's not hard to remember, is it? ohiodems.org. You know, sometimes we tell ourselves to save money for a rainy day. This is it. This is that rainy day. We can't let these people take this country in the wrong direction for four more years. Do yourself, your children, your country a favor. Volunteer or write a check by going to OhioDems.org.
This ad is paid for by the Ohio Democratic Party, Dennis White Chair.
Don't let the recent news about your arthritis medicine stop you from treating your arthritis pain. Talk to your doctor. No pain reliever has been proven safer than Tylenol when used as directed. That's one reason why arthritis experts recommend the medicine in Tylenol Arthritis Pain Relief as a first choice. For all-day relief without a prescription, ask your doctor about Tylenol. Stop. Think. Tylenol.
Tylenol Arthritis Pain lasts up to 8 hours. Use as directed.
Randy Rose.
Rosie O'Donnell!
Listen, Randy, I have dreams about Colin Powell nightly, seriously.
Really?
I really do, that the man wakes up and says before the election, I must resign from this administration as it is morally offensive to my essence. You know, this is an unbelievably talented man, gifted, and to be associated with this administration full of crooks, I think, is going to be the one thing in his life that he would change if he could.
Randy Rose on Air America Radio.
I get it. You're trying to make me dance. 34 past the hour, Mark Maron. This is Morning's Edition. I'm here with Mark Reilly.
Hey.
But you know what? I've listened to Pet Sounds dozens and dozens and dozens of times. I am just not going to get sucked in. There is no right or wrong. This is a matter of opinion. All right? And I know what Pet Sounds sounds like. I've listened to it. I just choose not to, you know, mope around that way. That is not my moping music.
Well,
that is not my particular celebration of pain, Mark Reilly.
I prefer ambient myself. First of all, Pet Sounds was never a big hit in the ghetto. Okay? Let's be clear about that.
Really? Really?
Yeah, we don't care about crazy white guys, all right? it's not something that we obsess about, all right?
All right, here quickly. The president received the endorsement. The head of Iran's Security Council said Tuesday that the reelection of President Bush was in Tehran's best interests. Quote, we haven't seen anything good from Democrats, end quote. Here's the other quote I like. We do not desire to see Democrats take over. It's a vote. It's a democracy. Yes, we know. Take over. No. We're going to vote. It's the country. Yes, take over. Whatever you think. It's okay. That's my Indian Iranian, of course.
Yes.
They're all my impressions of people are just a different frequency of roughly the same dialect. I'll work on it. I'm not an impressionist.
You know what? Bush rejected. The Bush campaign rejected the endorsement. Must be the first one.
That's going to hurt him.
Yeah, it will. With the expatriate Iranian community, or Iranian community.
Yeah, now it's time to look at the presidential daily briefing, that highly classified top secret document that crosses George W. Bush's desk every morning. Today's PDB from the intelligence community is entitled Faith-Based Truth in Dangerous Security. Mr. President, it has come to our attention that Reverend Pat Robertson quoted this conversation you had with him about the war in Iraq to Palazan on CNN. Quote, and I was trying to say, Mr. President, you'd better prepare the American people for casualties, end quote. And you told Robertson, quote, oh no, we're not going to have any casualties, unquote. There are a variety of disturbing aspects of this conversation. One, that you would ever say something so wildly, stupidly untrue about something so important. Two, that you would ever say something so wildly and stupidly untrue to someone like Pat Robertson. Three, that Pat Robertson would turn around and repeat your wildly, stupidly untrue statements to Paula Zahn. The idea that this man, who you've long considered your number one evangelic apologist, would betray you on TV with your own words poses a threat to your presidency at a crucial time. People know that you're ignorant, but saying we're not going to have casualties, wow. This incident illustrates the importance of never having frank discussions with anyone. Remember, converse only with your gut, Dick Cheney, or Karl Rove. Consider everyone else an enemy, even friendly televangelists. In order to scare your allies into compliance, we recommend you release the Robertson tapes, which should silence all disloyalty and distract voters from all those casualties in Iraq that we haven't had. Respectfully, Office of Homeland Security.
So there are Robertson tapes.
Yes, okay. Of course there are.
I knew there were.
If you're like me, and I think some of you are, aside from the people that insist that they're not like me and say mean things to me only because they are like me,
You read Eric Schlosser's Fast Food Nation, and it was a life-changing experience. I've just got through half of his new book, Reefer Madness, and I just read most of the piece in Vanity Fair. And I'm going to talk to Eric right now on the phone. Good morning, Eric.
Hey,
Eric.
Good morning.
Hey, now, that article in Vanity Fair is horrifying and frightening. We talked to a guy yesterday about anthrax vaccines. We talked to, and this flu vaccine thing. And now you said basically that they are experimenting on us with meat as well, yes?
Well, all these other forms of bioterrorism are theoretical. But what's been happening for years is people have been getting sick from what they're eating. And the statistics are really bad. Vanity Fair asked me to go back and look at what's happened in the food safety realm since Fast Food Nation came out a few years ago. And the bad news is just about everything's gotten worse, and you can thank the Bush administration for that.
How so, systematically?
Well, thousands and thousands of people get sick. About 1,000 people on a given day will be hospitalized because of something they ate.
Every day?
Every day, about 1,000 people hospitalized, and 5,000 die every year from food poisoning. And the Bush administration, by the way, has gotten the endorsement of the beef industry as well as the Iranian government. And that's because they, since Bush took power, and I think take power is the right word, they have done everything that the meatpacking industry would like them to do. There is very, very little government oversight over the meat that is being sold, and consumers are paying the price for it.
Now, Eric, the food industry generally and the beef industry in particular is a very powerful lobby in Washington, is it not? Talk a little bit about that.
They're very, very powerful. They have a very close relationship with the right wing of the Republican Party. They have since the Reagan administration, and it was really during the Reagan administration that the food safety system of the United States started to be dismantled. And what's disturbing today is that the two chief food safety officials in the United States, the head of the USDA and the head of the FDA, both came out of that Reagan-era effort to get rid of tough food safety rules. So when you look at where the money goes, which I think is very important in this subject, the National Cattlemen's Beef Association has given 81% of its money this year to the Republican Party. McDonald's has given 77%. The National Restaurant Association has given 90%. And the Bush administration has done their bidding. Whether it's keeping the minimum wage low, which was what the fast food chains want, or making sure that the government has no power to recall contaminated meat. One of the things that's incredible is that if there's a defective stuffed animal that has a glass eye that could come off and potentially choke a child, the government can order it off the market immediately. But if there is seriously contaminated meat that could kill the child, the government has no power whatsoever to order its recall, and the industry, the meatpacking industry, has fought very hard against that and has succeeded. The government can't trace recorded meat back to its source and cannot fine meatpacking companies if they're shipping contaminated meat. I mean, the government can fine a circus if it mistreats its elephants, but it can't fine one of these big Bush supporters if they're shipping contaminated meat that could sicken thousands and thousands of people.
Eric, is the general position here that the administration, and specifically the FDA, which I assume regulates all this stuff, are they essentially taking the industry's word for the fact that the meat is safe? Is that what they're essentially doing?
Well, it's the USDA that regulates meat, and it's very hard to separate who is the meatpacking industry from who is the USDA. The chief of staff at the USDA, who is probably the single most powerful person there, was the chief lobbyist for the beef industry right before Bush was elected. And when you look at the USDA, throughout the agency, you see one member of the meatpacking industry. There's pork producers and on throughout the agency. So in the Vanity Fair article I write about, the USDA is a perfect symbol of how a government agency can be completely corrupted and controlled by the industry it's supposed to be regulating.
And co-opted, basically, by the industry.
Completely co-opted by the industry.
Now the
FDA is disturbing, because they are the agency that has jurisdiction over pharmaceuticals and all other foods except for meat, and they also seem extremely industry friendly. And these aren't theoretical problems. Again, these are thousands of people being food poisoned. Now, I don't think food will ever be perfectly safe, And I'm not saying that if the Democrats were elected, it would be perfectly safe, but certainly you need much tougher oversight. The same problems in our food safety system right now, and you mentioned anthrax earlier, that are allowing all these bad pathogens to get into the meat, would be very, very, very easily used for bioterrorism. And the centralized, industrialized meat system would be a very good avenue if there were to be that sort of deliberate attack on our food system.
So you're saying that I could go to the meat department of my local grocery store and buy a bomb?
Yeah, no, I don't know. But, you know, unfortunately, you could go to your local meat department and buy something that's more likely to make you, that's to harm you than a bomb is today.
Okay, well, we're going to continue this conversation after this with Eric Schlosser. You're listening to Air America Radio. It's 43 past the hour.
$45 million Americans are uninsured, and those with insurance continue to face skyrocketing costs and less coverage. Stop being deprived of the coverage you need and get the advantage, MedAdvantage. MedAdvantage has been lowering healthcare costs for the insured and uninsured since 1995. Don't let rising prescription and healthcare costs take advantage of you. Get MedAdvantage instead. You can save hundreds of dollars per year with this simple and easy-to-use program. Membership is just $99 per year and will cover your entire family. There are no forms to fill out and no waiting for reimbursement. Call MedAdvantage at 888-595-4217 and start saving now. Membership is available to everyone regardless of age or medical condition. In fact, we're so confident you'll be pleased with the MedAdvantage program, we're offering a full 100% money-back guarantee. Call MedAdvantage at 888-595-4217 and start saving now. Once again, call 888-595-4217. MedAdvantage, reducing the personal cost of healthcare.
MedAdvantage is not an insurance plan.
Hi, this is Al Franken, the host of the Al Franken Show on Air America Radio. For the last 6 months, we've been doing 3 hours a day of cutting-edge radio programming. We've had guests like Bill Clinton, John Kerry, and Strom Thurmond.
Yeah, Pekka, you know no bigotry.
We've covered events like the handover of power in Iraq. We've explained difficult concepts like the growing national debt using nothing more than an ordinary slide whistle. Now we're presenting our show in a convenient, easy-to-use, one-hour version every night on Sundance Channel. Finally, you'll be able to see what we're talking about. Right, Strom?
That's right. Yippee! I'm going on TV.
Tune in every night at 11:30 on Sundance Channel for the Al Franken Show. And if you don't get Sundance Channel, go to their website, sundancechannel.com. Al and Sundance Channel. Together again.
Attention Vioxx users, the following is an important message from the law firm of Davis, Saperstein, and Solomon. Merck has finally taken Vioxx off the market as a result of an explosive study. Research indicates that long-term use of Vioxx carries an increased risk of heart attack, stroke, blood clots, and kidney damage. If you have taken Vioxx for a year or more, you are at increased risk of these side effects. You need a law firm with years of experience in pharmaceutical litigation protecting your legal rights now. So, if you took Vioxx for a year longer and have suffered a heart attack, a stroke, blood clots, or kidney damage, call the law firm of Davis, Saperstein & Solomon at 1-800-LAW-2000 and find out about your legal rights. The call is free. The advice is free. Davis, Saperstein & Solomon maintains offices in New York and at 375 Cedar Lane in Teaneck, New Jersey. So call 1-800-LAW-2000 today or find us on the web at VioxxLegalRights.com. We also welcome attorney referrals, so call 1-800-LAW-2000.
A lot of birds winter here. You go out to the wetlands, you have a pretty strong likelihood of seeing a bald eagle.
It's also an important nursery ground for fish.
Crystal Kane and Dr. Michael McCrander are environmentalists. They're helping restore Louisiana's sensitive coastal wetland.
Louisiana has about 40% of the nation's wetlands.
But 80% of the wetland losses have occurred in Louisiana.
Their help is vital to the wetland, to our energy needs, and to the companies they work for, Shell and its affiliates.
As you lose the wetland buffer, you lose your protection. And when you lose your protection, it impacts our country's energy.
If the system goes away, all of our options are gone. Shell understands that.
While the wetland also protects a quarter of the country's energy supply, that's not the only reason these two are here.
It's our backyard.
To find out more, visit Shell.com.
Hi, friends. Bill Bagley from Vital Basics, and I want to send you a bottle of the best-selling supplement Focus Factor absolutely free. Why would we give away a free bottle of Focus Factor? Because we know that if you try it, you'll buy it. Focus Factor has nutrients that work with your natural brain chemistry to support your memory, concentration, and focus. People all over the country say it's the best brain support supplement they've ever tried. Well, how would you like to try Focus Factor yourself absolutely free? No, we're not crazy. We're confident. Because once you try Focus Factor, you'll wonder how you ever got along without it. And that's why, for a limited time, we'll give you a full-size bottle of Focus Factor, a $75 value, free. You simply provide $4.95 to help cover the cost of shipping and handling. Call now for your free bottle of Focus Factor. Call toll-free 1-800-516-6808. That's 1-800-516-6808. Limit one bottle per household, please. Again, it's 1-800-516-6808.
Past the hour, we're going to try and put this thing down. I'm Mark Maron. There's Mark Riley.
Present.
This morning's edition, our guest on the phone is the author of Fast Food Nation. He's also the author of an article in Vanity Fair this month, The Dark Side of the All-American Meat. He's also got a book out called Reefer Madness, Sex, Drugs, and Cheap Labor in the American Black Market. You know, Eric, you pointed out something in the bit I was doing about Iran, that they quoted the Iranian head of Iran security saying, "We do not desire to see Democrats take over." And you actually said the Bush, they did take over. And you were right. I realize that now.
And I need to clarify my last remark so we all don't get sued. I'm not saying that a piece of meat is more dangerous to you than a bomb. I'm saying that the illnesses being caused by meat aren't theoretical in the way that a lot of the terrorism we're being made afraid of in the United States is.
Right.
Okay. 5,000 people die every year from food poisoning, and that's more than died in the World Trade Center on 9/11. So I think people should cook their meat. They shouldn't be afraid of their meat, but they should be very angered by this current administration and its relationship with the meatpacking companies.
I dig it. So what I wanted to ask you, I wanted to try and get a couple questions at the end of this interview about the new book, but I wanted to ask you, has there been success in prosecuting the meat industry, and is there... Do they think in terms of the bottom line only? Because I have to assume the corporations like this say, well, so what if 1,000 people a day get sick? They can't prove it. You know, the one or two that can prove it a year, you can absorb the lawsuit. How does that operate?
Well, there's a real market failure going on. I'm a real critic of the meatpacking industry. They don't want their customers to get sick. They're not heartless people who want people to get sick, but they also don't want to be held legally liable if people do get sick. So the key is making it difficult to trace the meat back to its source, because if you don't know what made you sick, you can't sue anybody. That's the real problem, ultimately, and accountability. Right now, the companies that spend the extra money to make sure that their meat is not contaminated have to compete in the marketplace against companies that, you know, aren't spending the extra money. And so the lazy, sloppy companies are perversely being rewarded. It's a classic example of market failure, and that's why you need tough government regulations to level the playing field.
Eric, what can consumers do? We've got people listening all over the country right now who are probably scared to go to their refrigerators and pull out any bacon to make for breakfast.
Yeah.
Is there a way for ordinary consumers to at least minimize the risk of eating tainted meat?
Yeah, I think that by voting the Bush administration out of power, that would be a very good first step.
Yeah.
After that, you got to cook your meat well. It's that simple. And most of these pathogens are going to be killed. I mean, mad cow disease is a whole other issue. Most of these pathogens will be killed if you cook the meat very well. Children are the people who are most vulnerable to these illnesses, and that's one of the really, I think, outrageous things. When we're talking about these foodborne illnesses, predominantly we're talking about small children. They're the most vulnerable. So I don't think small kids should eat ground beef. And if possible at all, I think if you're going to buy meat, you should spend the extra money on good meat, and especially buy meat that's being raised without antibiotics, without growth hormones, without animal products in the feed. By doing that, you'll be supporting the smaller meatpacking companies and not the very gigantic companies that I hold responsible for a lot of these problems.
Does that mean going to a butcher as opposed to going to a supermarket? Or is the organics, you know, because they stick organic on almost anything in a supermarket. How do you know that the meat's actually organic just because, I mean, if they slap it on, does that mean it is?
Well, you're never gonna really know, but this is an important purchase. I mean, people spend a lot of time figuring out what kind of genes to buy, but this food enters your body and becomes part of you. And when it comes to meat, going to a butcher shop, if you trust the butcher, going to a supermarket that you trust the people there that it would say organic and it would be organic. When it comes to ground beef, a good butcher is probably a better place to get it than a supermarket because they're likely to be grinding it there in the shop. A lot of the industrial ground beef just combines thousands and thousands of different cattle.
And
grinds them up together. It's a very unpleasant thought, but it's also how the ground beef becomes more likely to spread various bad diseases. Ultimately, I don't want people to be afraid of their meat. I want people to be angry at a government that allows the system to continue. And again, most of the people who are going to be sickened are small children, the elderly, and people who are immunosuppressed. These are the weakest people in society, and traditionally, that's who government looks after, not who government allows to be screwed over.
Okay, well, so I will not fear my meat. That's I will say that out loud because I have to, because when you said it, our board op just went crazy with laughter. And it's got nothing to do with what you were saying, obviously. But what I want to ask you is this. Let's talk about prions for a moment, because this obviously is the big fear. And you know, my father, who's a surgeon, said, you know, he stopped eating meat 2 years ago. As soon as he heard mad cow existed, he assumed that there's absolutely no way that it can't be everywhere. You know, where are we with this?
Well, the chief spokesperson for the USDA says that mad cow disease is not a problem in the United States. Then again, before she joined the USDA, she was the chief spokesperson for the beef industry, and she sent out press releases that said mad cow disease is not a problem in the United States. And when you look at BSE and mad cow disease, you look at, again, how the Bush administration's policy is being completely governed by the meatpacking industry and its interests. Now, I don't know if it is a huge problem here at all. I hope it's not. I think it's probably much less of a problem here than it was in Great Britain, but I don't know that, and the government doesn't know that, and they've done everything they can to avoid a real testing program for mad cow disease. So we will see, and the American people right now are guinea pigs in a huge experiment to see if prions are going to cause a problem in the United States.
Well, not unlike, you know, some of the accusations about, you know, anthrax vaccines and Gulf War syndrome as being tied to, you know, policies and things that were put into the world by the U.S. administration during these wars, that, you know, this could reveal itself as senility. It's not that easy to diagnose, is it, Eric?
What's very disturbing is the veterinarians at the USDA are in charge of our mad cow policy. And these veterinarians keep on saying it's not a problem. When you talk to neurologists, as I have, and you talk to some of the leading researchers in mad cow disease who specialize in human health, they're very concerned about it. They think that there is no amount of these prions that you should eat, period. So it's very, very concerning. And I think, again, if you want to eat beef, I would highly recommend that people buy beef that come through these other channels and not the mainstream meatpacking channels, because, you know, if it says no animal products in the feed, those cattle are much less likely to have any prion diseases or mad cow disease than the conventional meat. You know, cattle in the United States are still being fed cattle blood, which is crazy.
That is crazy.
The USDA allows it. It's cheap for the meatpacking companies to do. It's a cheap way to let the cattle grow faster. And what's outrageous is in Great Britain they had this problem a decade ago.
Yeah.
We have their experience to learn from. And we really haven't learned the lesson yet.
Well, I mean, the bottom line is that a lot of this is about the bottom line. They don't want to waste anything. They don't want to put an efficient testing part to the meat industry, because it's going to save them, what, a few million dollars? It's a $1 billion industry. It's criminal.
It's very, very short-sighted. And, again, I am still a meat eater, but the meat eaters have to save this industry from their own greed. We're talking about pennies a pound that they could spend on testing.
Well, look, Eric, it's been great talking to you. I really want to talk to you about your other book and about the black market and about the opium trade in Afghanistan. Will you come on another time not too far away?
Absolutely.
Thanks a lot, Eric.
Appreciate it,
very informative. Great talking to you finally. Wow. The prion thing kills me, because the prion is like this alien being, and it came about through, you know, insanely bad karma from, you know, mankind forcing animal kind to eat themselves, you know, over and over again. To cannibalize.
I have never been able to figure out what, I mean, I know it's cheap, but other than that, I mean, isn't there something very basically wrong with feeding a vegetarian animal its own flesh?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, its own body parts, essentially?
Dude, they'll feed the chickens beef parts,
yeah.
And then they'll feed the cattle chicken poop that was from the beef part. It's crazy, the weird circle of anti-life, the demonic circle of non-life that goes on within the feed world.
Can I come to your house and have some collard greens, please?
Yes, absolutely. I did put some smoked turkey in there.
Whoa!
Right there, but that was because Uncle Charlie told me to.
Yeah, you're right.
All right, we got to go back up there.
Mr. Charlie.
Mr. Charlie, sorry. I don't know why I keep saying Uncle Charlie. Is that bad? Is that some sort
of
weird...
That's Uncle Tom's, it's bad.
No, that's okay. Okay, here we go. Here's the liberal agenda. One, in case Bush wins second term, copyright phrase, draft beer, not me. That'll be a gold mine. Two, organized elementary school group, Mary Cheney Lesbian Playground Pals. Three, for tonight's game 7 of the Yankees-Red Sox series, host non-competitive unity party celebrating their differences. Four, condemn flu vaccine for killing off a unique species. And five, today's phrase is dropped into conversation. You know why Schwarzenegger came out for stem cell research, don't you? Because he was made in a lab, man. Wake up. That can't be natural. What do we got tomorrow?
We got tomorrow how George W. Bush is using the war in Iraq to push his conservative agenda at home. That's tomorrow's Morning's Edition here on Air America Radio. Have a good one, Maron.
You too, man.